Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can get more info about our show by visiting our new and improved website that can be found at householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So call into the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, fellas, this ain't Bible study. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The Virtual Talk Show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is, do you have a girlfriend problem? Yeah, we're going to get into that. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot for the evening. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that's absolutely fine, too. But please try to hang on until the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. Does your lady have any close girlfriends? Does she have girlfriends?
Yeah.
How many? Is it one or 21? Anybody? How many girlfriends does your lady have? Yes. Three real close friends and a lot of associates. Okay, P-Town. Does she love to go out with her girlfriends all the time? Those three close friends. He said no. Anybody else? What about does your lady, is she steady texting or Facebooking her girlfriends all day, even when she's with you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have that problem.
You don't have that problem?
No, man. I used to have that problem, but we got that straight.
What was the problem before?
Oh, man. We know Facebook and, you know, they be texting back and forth, man. You know, I just told her. I said, you got to knock it off.
So she just stopped cold turkey?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
You know, I have to say, every once in a while, you're just sitting around the house, we're watching a movie, they might, you know, one might talk, text her here and there. But, and she'll text back, but she won't be in all-night conversations with in texting with a girlfriend.
Got it.
But,
go ahead.
They got this thing called a computer now.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm working, doing myself on my computer, she'll be at her computer. You know, we had that little computer time. She'll be doing a lot of communication on Facebook with her if her girlfriend's up there.
Oh, okay. But not, you know, excessively during the day.
Well, I'm not with her for days. So she works where she has to use both her hands all the time. So I doubt if she's texting throughout the day.
All right. Good words. Good words.
I mean, my biggest problem is the damn BlackBerry.
Okay. What is she doing on the BlackBerry?
Well, she's answering work emails.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Well, hey, I can't say too much about that because that's my job. I'm always on the BlackBerry, so.
And you got how many BlackBerries?
Man, I got 3 of them, so.
3 BlackBerries.
Yeah, mine and work and then the critical one.
Right. Well, let me ask y'all this. Do her girlfriends cause her to shop or spend more money than she would otherwise? Like, girl, you know, they're having a sale. She wouldn't know about it unless her girlfriends call.
No, I don't have that problem. You know, my wife, man, she pretty much do her own thing. If she got money to shop, then she shop what she want to shop. You know, if it's convenient to her girlfriend's, cool. If not, it don't matter because she'll shop. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Anybody else?
What was that question again? I'm sorry.
I said, do her girlfriends cause her to shop or spend more money than she would otherwise?
Only if she with my sister. Other than that, no.
So is your sister her girlfriend?
No, but when she goes shopping, she'll be like, get that. But, you know, majority of her friends is all safe set up, so.
What about, does your wife like going to the club with her girlfriends, but without you?
I mean.
Go ahead.
I mean, I let it happen. I let it happen sometimes, you know, because, you know, and whether or not they go to the club or whether they just go to a restaurant for drinks, happy hour or whatever, you know, I let that happen because, you know, I hang out with my boys. So, you know, it's got to be even. But, you know, I had to let my wife see one of her girlfriends is not on the same level that my wife's on. And one of her girlfriends is single, and, you know, she just out trying to play the field. And, you know, my wife went to a club with her, and my wife was, you know, like, shocked. Like, you know, yo, I'm not down with this whole meat market atmosphere and everything, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it took my wife to go out with her, you know, even though I tried to warn her, you know, fellas, we all know sometimes we got to let our wives see for themselves. You know, my wife saw it. And my wife, you know, she's really hanging with her married girlfriends now. That's who she's really starting to stick with. I mean, she still hangs with her single girlfriend, but she really controls the parameters. You know, she's not trying to get caught out there, you know, in an uncomfortable or a situation where, you know, she might get caught in an uncompromised position, you know, trying to hang down with a girlfriend or something like that.
So would you prefer her having married girlfriends versus single girlfriends?
I really don't care because, you know, this is my second marriage and my wife is old enough now to make up her own mind. I mean, I make suggestions and, you know, she's far enough advanced and far enough secure in herself where she knows where to go and, you know, what to do. And I trust her judgment, so... I don't have to give much input in where she goes. I mean, she saw one. It only took one time for her to see what her girlfriend was really down with, and you know, she being a married woman, you know, she realized, you know, that ain't me, you know, and it's no, you know, she doesn't look down on her girlfriend or anything like that, but she just knows certain times, you know, when her girlfriend goes out, she can't be going out with her. You know, it's just,
right.
You know, because I got single dudes, and, you know, I, you know, in hell I go out with them because I know what they are trying to do.
Does your lady get more dolled up when she's hanging out with her girlfriends?
Yeah, my wife gets dolled up to go to the gas station.
So it don't matter. Good words. Anybody else? Prefer married girlfriends to your single girlfriends?
I don't know about that one, man. But when going out, you know, when we go out as couples, it's sometimes good to go out with other married couples. Because, you know, you both are balanced and you both are going for the exact same thing. You're not going to look for somebody or do anything else like that. But sometimes you'll find a lot of women, they got women that were married but got divorced. And they might need to hang out with them just to hang out with them. I think they hang out a little different than we do all the time.
I mean, what's she like to do when she's hanging out with her girlfriends?
9 times out of 10, they hang around at the house, but they might go to the mall.
With your sister.
No, I ain't going with my sister.
They know, so you won't allow that.
They know exactly how my sister get down. they try to avoid that, but they might go out and hang out. But majority of the time, because a lot of her good friends, they don't live here.
Okay.
So they don't live in the same city we do. So when they get together, you know, it's more catching back up, you know, talking about old times or talking about whatever they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Or any of her, go ahead.
She can probably care less about hanging out all night or going to a club.
Are any of her girlfriends, her closest girlfriends, part of her family?
My wife has 4 other sisters, so they darn near talk on the phone 24 hours a day.
My wife has 1 sister, but her girlfriends, her close girlfriends are not part of her family.
What about, are her closest girlfriends part of your family?
No, they ain't part of my family.
Yeah, I got a funny story because my wife's closest girlfriend, she only got like 2 close girlfriends, I'd say. And one of them is, I went to grade school with her. And literally like K-5, we went to school together. And, you know, we're always friends. You know, we never dated or liked each other or anything like that, but we were cool. And then we met back up, you know, she moved away, and then we met back up in college. And her and my wife in college became such good friends that she was the maid of honor at our wedding.
Yeah, but when y'all were friends in college, anything go down?
No. Mm-mm. Everything,
no?
I mean, no, because even when, like I say, when she was my friend in grade school, it was never anything like that. So when we got back together, you know, it was just all love. And then, you know, my wife started, you know, hanging out with and everything, and you know, it was cool. You know, they're literally great friends. I mean, but she was my friend first, so it's kind of odd that, you know, and she's friends on both sides. You know, she's, you know, almost family virtually now, you know, but, you know, it was kind of weird that she was my friend and then, literally, you know, 6-7 years later, you know, then she starts becoming my wife's friend, you know, and, you know, while we were dating, you know, so it was interesting, you know, to say the least. And, Anybody else got anything on that? Friendships? Were they part of her family or your family? But what can you do if your wife has a problem with hanging out and she doesn't want to limit hanging out with her girlfriends or shopping or, you know, whatever the case? What can you do, if anything, if she wants to do that?
Well, first thing I think you should do is communicate your concern. You know, a lot of brothers mess up. You know, well, not just brothers, but people in general. We mess up. We overanalyze, and then we come to our own conclusions, and then we come up with a reaction to what we think suits our own version of reality. And before you retaliate or do anything crazy, I think the first thing you should do is communicate. And if your wife is hearing you, then cool. You know, if she ain't hearing you, then, hey, you know, at least you tried, you know. And then, you know, you do whatever you see fit. I know everybody has a different situation. But I think the first thing you should do is communicate your displeasure in your wife hanging with this young lady. I know I did that with my wife. I expressed my dislike. And she went out anyway, and then she saw for herself, and then she came back and said you was right. So, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I had a similar kind of story when me and my wife got married. She was hanging out with a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, and they was out one day shopping, doing whatever, and then my wife ended up calling me and said, hey, because I had all the car. We have a couple of different bank accounts, but nonetheless, we have bills. And so anyway, she had the she had our kind of free for all, if you will. Don't slap me for that one, Rodney. But a free for all kind of cash at the time. And then she called me and she was like, "Hey, need some additional money. You know, can you come up here to the so and so?" And I was like, what? What do you mean you need additional money? Because I know there was plenty enough in that checking account to hang out. I went up there, and for the sake of the marriage, we were young couple then, and so for the sake of the marriage, I went up there, got them. But then, like my brother was just saying, I had a conversation about my kind of displeasure about that and how how we need, because she said in the beginning, hey, this is, I want you to go ahead and take care of the finances. So, okay, since you want me to do that, then I explained to her this, that, and the other. You know, we talked about goal. We set everything at that point, and I never had that problem again. Now, she wasn't the friend that would go out, and she was single, but she wouldn't go out and, you know, talk to them, trying to hit on guys or trying to get numbers and stuff like that. So I ain't have too much to worry about that. But going back to that question, on whether or not single, you know, females or whatever. In that case, I was okay with it, but normally I would not be with something like that, because I just think that's I'm always growing up with the mindset of never leave any room for interpretation. So, like, when I hang out, I don't hang out with guys. I try to, as much pressure in this life that men got to deal with it to begin with, or people in general, I don't need no additional pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was last week, I was visiting my daughter down in South Florida, who's in college. And, you know, if I'm out with her, if I had a single friend who was out, you know, hitting on these women at the beach and doing this and doing that, and they got girlfriends and all that, I don't need all that additional pressure. You know what I mean? I wouldn't need all that. Them, you know, their friends thinking I'm single or whatever. I need to be. I walk around. I had no problem with showing my ring. And matter of fact, I went to a church while I was down there. I won't get into all that, but we went down, me and my daughter. And when I was there, I had mentioned to some folks that was there that I was late, because I went back. I was halfway there. Went back to my place, because I had left my wedding ring on the bathroom sink.
Mm.
So again, I don't like leaving any room for interpretation.
So you went back to the hotel.
I went back to the house and then got the ring and then came to church. So that's just me. Now, you know, that's just how, you know, like I said, some brothers like that pressure. They like that little flirting a little bit and doing this, but it gets you burnt every now and then. You're gonna get yourself tripped up, get yourself in a situation that you don't feel that you can run from.
Yeah, burnt literally and figuratively. But what should the level of acceptance be for a couple to engage in activities separate and apart from each other?
Say that question one more time, Rodney.
What should the level of acceptance be for a couple to engage in activities separate and apart from each other?
I'm sorry. The question is, what you and your partner do separate from each other?
Exactly.
She should be able to do her own thing. I mean,
yeah,
just because you're married.
What's that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? You know, should she should be able to do her own thing every night or once a month or, you know, what does that
strip
mean?
Strip club. I mean,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
No, man, I'm talking about if she wants to go, sometimes you got to have a break. You know, she got all the kids and she's doing everything. She might want a day to herself, just go to the mall or something. You take the kids. But she and her girl might want to hang out and go to a movie together. That shouldn't be a problem, too. You know, one wife and her friend want to go to a movie. Now, if that friend's a man, we got issues, but.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
Right, so if she's gone, you know, a good portion of the day they go out, they may shop or they're eating and movies or whatever, and they got a day full of kind of things together, and she doesn't communicate, or does she have to communicate back to you and just say, hey, what's going on, just seeing everything's all right, or letting you know we're hanging out over here. Is that okay if she doesn't talk to you at all day, but's gone all day with her friend? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Go ahead. You're good. Yeah, that's good.
To me,
it's just
not
a problem. My wife had one of her girlfriends come into town. She stayed at the house. You know, basically said, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to hang out all day and do this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. And they came back. They decided we were going to go get dinner. And they hit some spots and went to, like, a jazz club and a couple other places to just mellow out and sit down. Yeah, I knew what the plan was. I didn't trip. Because the way I look at it is, I'm gonna take myself out at some point.
So you're going to take yourself at some point?
Yeah, at some point, I mean, I'll hang out. So it didn't bother me. And there was no calling back and forth. I mean, she sent me a couple texts saying, hey, we're having a great time or whatever. But I was okay.
So you didn't get that text, I need some more money, like Roddy did.
I'm not going that one down.
Yeah, you need to meet me at the Western Union or something, you know. So none of that, huh? What about vacationing with friends? You know, is that cool for you to do? Is that cool for her to do? You know, what are y'all's feelings on vacationing with friends?
I haven't done that. And I don't think we've talked about it. I know we haven't talked about it, but I would have to say, knowing my wife, I think she would have problems with that. Now, would she express it to me? I don't know if she would express it, but you know, as a husband, she shouldn't have to express everything. I should be able to know some things for myself, and I think that I know. I think she would have a problem with that one, and I don't know if I necessarily would, but I think she would, and just because she would, I don't think I would.
Anybody else vacationing with friends? Cool for you? Cool for her? Not cool for you? Not cool for her?
Yeah, you all already know my feelings on that one. Negative. Negative.
You don't have permission.
No, I mean, you know, even if we did, I don't know. I mean, you know, after thinking about it, I don't think it would be a bad thing to have a weekend getaway golf trip, and she didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, those of you who know, I made the arrangement, we made an agreement prior to marriage that we would not take any vacations together. But I'm going to tell you something, I have missed a lot of outings because of that.
Yeah.
I have missed a lot, and I missed a lot, and it's still counting because I'm still getting invitations, and I'm like, well, anybody else bringing their wife? Nope, well, I can't go. You know, man, yeah, I need to reevaluate that one or renegotiate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might need to renegotiate. Because you got to have some time. I mean, you got to – a man has to be a man and a woman has to be a woman.
Yes.
And she had friends before you, and just because you had a household, we shouldn't be micromanaging the household.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a happy wife, sometimes you got to allow her to get out and do what makes her happy, and that's hanging on a weekend with her girlfriends that she went to college with, or she, you know, they set up one trip where they go and do girl things, sit down, drink wine, go to spas, and do whatever they want to do. You know,
yeah,
you should
that
respect
could all be
your
done,
wife that much.
That could all be done in a day.
Within 15 miles.
Within 15 miles. It can be done.
And under $100.
Under $100. Best wishes here.
Yeah, but, I mean, it goes back to, but yeah, that could be done today, but golf could be done today.
But you know what? Honestly speaking, I think that arrangement was made prior to us being married because of trust.
Yeah.
I think it was not knowing about, you know, not having a comfort level of being out of town apart. And
sure.
I think that right now we both have comfort levels of, you know, of steel. So it's like, okay, now that, you know I'm not going to do that, I know you're not going to do that, can we please do something separate? You know, so I definitely have to revisit that with her.
But do you think it's important for her to hang out with her girlfriends? I think P-Town was talking on that. Do you think it's really important, P-Town? In your opinion?
This ain't P-Town, but I would say, yeah, I think it's really important for them to have opportunities to spend time with their girlfriends.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, the perspective of things that you're trying to bestow upon them or have them see, they can't really get it. So, I mean, yeah, there are those times where, you know, girlfriends can definitely be a hindrance to your marriage or relationships that you're trying to establish or ideas and things with your wife. But in other facets of their development, I think it's actually positive because they get a perspective on things and say, you know what, yeah, that's really not all of that, you know, or maybe you should think about this, or you know what, he's got a good point. You know, I actually see what he's saying. Or, you know what, you actually got a good man. You should be back home. It's not worth being out here. So
wow.
I would say, yeah, some of that stuff is valid. Plus, it allows them to grow and bounce ideas off one another and definitely see where they should be on some positive aspects of their personal growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
Good word.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I think it's extremely important. I mean, you know, I've heard stories of guys that have single-handedly eliminated all their wife's friends.
Mm.
And, you know, that can be counterproductive, you know, because just like he said, they need that time to reflect. They need that time, especially, I mean, even if it's a single girl from college or, you know, a long-time girlfriend, you know, all you have to do is, you know, become friends of that friend, you know, and then she will be on your side, you know. If not, you can't, you know.
Listen,
hide them.
Let's just be honest. There's some things you don't want to do with your woman that you don't mind your girlfriend's going with. They want to go out and go shopping. I ain't trying to hang out and go shopping with a whole lot of girls.
Because
all they're going to do is shop, and they're going to say, what is this? And then you say the wrong thing, you got a bad afternoon.
Yeah. More than one woman is too many women to go shopping with.
If they want to go to Potomac Mills and go to the outlet for a weekend, None of your business. Yeah. Y'all get together and go. I even paid for it. Just, you know, you gotta give, you gotta give them that stress free. Because sometimes y'all, you know, you're getting in, you live together, and once you get up in that age and the numbers, yeah, when you're in the single digits, you want to be as close together as always. But when you get in these double digits of marriage, you know, and the other friends are getting married, and, you know, their friends are getting married, and we're moving, and we're not in the same area, sometimes they want to get together. And not just at a marriage or a funeral. So if they want to get together, we should be respectful as men to say, and trust our wives and say, don't handle your business. Now, if they got that girl, Shaniqua, that we know about going to be there, and we know how she acts, then we got a different story.
Yeah, I probably put this disclaimer out that with all that being said, know your woman. Because if there's some brothers on here who, you know, and so I won't try to use any names just in case I use a name that's actually on the phone. But you know your woman trifling. you know she done been caught flirting and maybe even cheating before, whatever, and you've taken her back. Whatever the case is, you know, be careful on trying to live someone else's life because you're trying to utilize some of the stuff that you didn't heard on the phone. Know your woman. sending her away to the Bahamas with her girlfriends, quote unquote girlfriends.
Yeah, he said certain rules do not apply to you.
right. But should you? I mean, on that note, should you personally know all of her girlfriend before she goes and hangs out with them? You know, because like you say, you could be sending her to the Bahamas with Leslie, Tracy, and Ashley, but they could all be dudes.
Or they could like only women.
right.
Yeah. You said send them out to the Bahamas or send them out, you know, to the mall?
To the mall,
okay. I don't think so. I don't like some of the friends that my wife hooks up with, I've never met. From old friends of school, they've never been over to the house. You know, maybe, you know, they know us, but they know me because my see my picture on Facebook, know I'm married to her, but some of them I've never met, you know. And she's like, yeah, I'm going out with XYZ today. I'm like, okay, because I know my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with her making decisions, you know, and representing the marriage, you know.
Good words.
You know.
Anybody else? Well, would y'all say, generally speaking, is it more difficult to hang out when you're married? And that's for either party, either for you or for your wife. Is it more difficult to hang out when you're married?
I don't know about that one. I don't know if it's more. I probably would say no, and that's for me. I don't think it's more difficult.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think it's necessarily more difficult. It's just that now you have more things in your life that you have to consider,
mm-hmm.
and you have to think about it more. I think the opportunities to hang out are still there. I mean, you could still do it. I mean, it could be something as simple as leaning on the fence talking to a neighbor.
Right.
I mean, you could get invited. I get invited all the time to come down the block and have a drink or two on somebody's deck and sit outside. But, I mean, I got to come back and get somebody ready for bed or – you know, I got to cut the grass or I got to, you know, go in and look over a couple of emails, get prepared for a meeting tomorrow. So, I mean, opportunities are still there. It's just that, you know, you've got other priorities that you have to take in consideration. And the focus is specifically on being married and having a wife and a family. I mean, yeah, the opportunities are still there. I mean, it's just that you have to ultimately weigh it out. Is it worth me asking, can I do this, knowing that this could potentially put me in the doghouse because there's something I probably forgot or didn't do or didn't understand I was supposed to be doing, or do I just need to go on home and save up my credits for something that I really want to do one?
It's like, is it worth this talking over the fence to the neighbor, you know,
right.
I need to go put some money to bed, yeah.
Right. I mean, honestly, I mean, there's a lot of times people say, yeah, you know, we're about to go hit this happy hour, and it's married people and single people from work or whatever, and you have to just say, you know what, yeah, no, not this time, because I know that Twins game is coming into town on next Friday. They playing
right.
the Yankees at home, and I'm going to want to see that.
Right, right, right. What
you
think?
You just got to weigh out if it's worth it. I mean, are you really going to have fun leaning over the fence, or are you really going to have fun at the Twins game? Probably the Twins game.
Good words, good words. But you mentioned something about happy hour. Does anybody on here do happy hour, or does your lady do happy hour occasionally, or have you ever done it? Anybody?
I used to do
business happy hours. And that's just where some folks did business is with the drinking they had.
Right.
Is that another word for it?
Right.
Wow. It definitely sounded good. It sounded more important. Is that you get your Long Island iced tea with a lime or without a lime?
Right. almost made me want to go out and get a drink. That sounds okay.
He said, business happy hour. That's what I'm talking about. Spice it up.
Right.
But would
yeah,
do y'all mind if your lady does happy hour? You know, especially with alcohol involved, as y'all just said. Earlier y'all like, yeah, she can do what she want to do. You know, it's happy hour. Is that included in that, you know, when alcohol is involved?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what was said earlier about you just got to know your lady. I mean, you got to know who she is. I know if mine goes to happy hour, she's not a drinker. So she'll just be there with everybody else getting whatever way they get, and then if she's had enough, she'll dip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
she's just with people.
Right. You know you want to get a drink, one drink in, and she on the table dancing and everything, then, you know, I'm kind of making light of everything because I got a woman who's not social. She's not sociable. So she hardly goes anywhere unless she goes out with maybe my sister or go out of town really to like New Jersey to her family, and then maybe she'll see some friends from high school or something there and then go. But outside of that, she doesn't do anything around here.
Hmm.
So I'm kind of making light out of it. So if I'm talking about your situation, don't get mad. I'm just messing around.
Good words, good words. So basically what y'all are saying is that in some sense it can actually make your relationship healthier if you occasionally hang out with your friends or she occasionally hangs out with her friends. Is that what I'm hearing? It can make your marriage healthier if that happens?
I would say yeah, because you're not really up underneath that person all the time to the point of almost being disgusted. I mean, too much of anything is going to be a bad thing. And it can definitely lead itself to, you know, really being something that you didn't expect it to be. I mean, I'm not saying you have to do stuff all the time without your spouse, but you should have those opportunities to be apart and know that you can find enjoyment with them and without them. But in the overall process and scheme of things, it just makes you two better.
Good words. Anybody else? Friends making your relationship healthier.
You say friends?
Yeah, hanging out, you know, by hanging out with your friends that actually can make your relationship with your wife healthier.
I will say yes, and I will say I think it would be to my benefit to have my wife or encourage my wife to hang out with other married women.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because I've been married before. My wife has not. And she doesn't have a lot of positive married women in her life. She's got some now, you know, but she hasn't really along the way. So most definitely, I think that, you know, she can, just like I pick up information from you guys on this phone call, well, she doesn't really have an outlet like this.
Mm-hmm.
So in my situation, it would definitely be beneficial for her to hang out with you, your guys' wives, y'all's wives. You know what I'm saying?
I echo everything on that, Tony, because, like I said, my wife is pretty non-sociable, which, hey, it works for her to some degree. She don't like entertaining and such, but, you know, I think at the same time, I do encourage her, and I think it is healthy to some degree to be able to do those things, and that's why I do try to encourage her and to get out. So
So
ideally, where would y'all want her to pick up some new girlfriends? Like where would that be, or how would that look? You know, for her to pick up.
Well, like Tony just said, I think the way he was saying in terms of. Hearing the brothers on the call, knowing the brothers, I guess, and hearing about their wives and stuff, you know, yeah, that's probably a good environment. I have friends who I know their wives too, and really down to earth, rooted, you know, got some morals and so forth. And those are the individuals, and I just say, hey, you know, why don't y'all hang out? And she has done it a few times. Maybe they went to the spa, or they went out to lunch and then a movie or something like that with about four or five of them together, which was cool. But I know it's not her thing either, so I can't force her into doing it. I just try to encourage her.
Yeah,
that never works. And like I was saying in my situation earlier, like, I didn't force, you know, my friend from grade school that I've been knowing, you know, since I was five. I didn't force that friendship. That was more natural. And that's why it's so great. You know, I didn't say, hey, you know, y'all should hang out. They just started hanging out. And next thing I know, you know, it's like she's part of the wedding party, you know, on my wife's side. You know, she was literally there for her, you know, and also, you know, there for me as well. But, yeah, I think the whole with women, you can't force friendship. Usually with guys you can do that. Like if you got, you know, two women and their husbands meet up, you know, you probably 9 times out of 10 they'll be at least a little bit cool. You know, whereas with women, you know, they might meet one time and be like, yeah, no, you know, for whatever reason. And it may have something to do with, you know, us trying to put them together, you know, you know, like, for example, like my wife and P-Town's wife and Tony's wife are not friends. And I don't think they will ever be friends, you know, honestly. You know, we're friends. The three of us are friends. But I don't foresee us, you know, all being, you know, coupled up. Because, you know, my wife is very reserved, too, you know, and she's not, you know, she only has two close friends that she talks to. And it's not, you know, she doesn't talk to them on a regular basis. It's only, you know, on a kind of as needed, you know, when they need each other, they're there or whatever, but it's not on a regular weekly or monthly basis at all, because she's just not that type of, you know, a person, and she's not, you know, she always says, you know, I'm not into small talk and chit-chat, you know, that kind of stuff. you know, she's just not into that. You just got to have some, there's got to be a purpose behind, you know, the idle chat or whatever, so. You know,
well, Rodney, yeah, I'm glad you said that, because my wife and Patrice's wife are pretty close.
Yeah.
They are pretty close.
Yeah, they talk all the time.
They talk all the time. Texting, talking, Facebook, when we going to hang out again, and, you know.
That's
nothing. You know, so. And your wife is reserved, and that's fine. And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she always says that she doesn't need any more girlfriends. And that's because she really doesn't get the necessary time, or she kind of feels that she's not, I guess what I'm saying is that she could disappoint you, not purposely. You know, because when you're a friend, you expect, you know, friends to, you know, chat and talk and, you know, meet up. And, you know, she just like, she's not into that. So that can be personally offensive to some people that don't know that she's like that. Like her girlfriends, they know that they'll never get a call from her in 3 months. And it's not going to be like, oh, you know, and when they do finally get up or see each other, it's not going to be like, oh, you can't call nobody. It's not, you know, they just know that about her, you know, so.
Well, let me ask you a question. Being her husband, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I don't mind. You know, I mean,
cause
it works for me.
Because that's borderline antisocial, if I'm hearing it correctly.
Borderline, yeah. I mean, absolutely, yeah. I mean, she can be social, but she's not antisocial. It's just that she just chooses not to be social. You know,
I don't know the difference.
I don't know the difference. I mean, but there's going to be points where it's going to come to you and you're going to want her to be social. You know what I mean? And then you, and then she's going to say, well, you know, I'm not social. And then that's, and then that's the, that there's your answer.
You know? Yeah, she'll do that sometimes. You know, like she, you know, if I say, you know, come on, let's go here or go there, you know, sometimes she'll go, but other times she won't. She'll be like, nope.
Wow.
And, it, you know, it won't even be like, and the thing is, I don't get personally offended by it myself because I know, I mean, that's how she is. You know,
but how do you really feel about it?
I mean, that's how she, I don't, I mean, I don't mind because when she, when I need her to come through, she'll come through. I mean, it's not a problem.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm not going to go stag to a, an event or something like that.
Sure.
So, but I mean, I guess that I'm more, when I approach her with to do stuff, I know it can go either way. If she
yeah.
got stuff to do, and that's another thing is that, you know, being a teacher, you know, she doesn't have a lot of downtime.
Gotcha.
You know, she's literally working right now. And, you know, so, it, you know, being a school teacher, I mean, it's ongoing. And even in the summertime, you know, it's designing curriculums and, you know, it's always something to do. Whereas, you know, on the weekends, people have weekend, you know, teachers got weekends off. They're like, oh, you know, let's go to happy hour. Let's go here. Let's go shopping. And she's just like, I got work to do. You know, I got papers to grade, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, everybody's got work to do. Everybody's got things they got to work around. Some women work work on the weekends and do double jobs or whatever the case may be. But I would think that that limits your involvement with said friends. That's what
it
I
does.
Would believe. It does. Like, because if it's like, okay, let's take a ski trip, let's grab all the families, kids, everybody, and go have a ski trip, you might be like, yeah, it sounds like a good idea, but, you know, it wouldn't work for us. And,
yeah.
and you know, we'd be like, Rodney, we need you to come. You know what I mean? It's, you know, we got this big log cabin. We got it all set up. We got a room for the kids, all these activities set up. And, you know, it, for you, it'd be like, nah, you know.
Right, right. Because I know my wife, yeah.
I mean, and on to that tone, how does, you know, being sheltered affect the kids?
Ooh, yeah.
Because, you know, if they don't see their parents with friends and sometimes and have them, you know, little gatherings or get together, how do they get their socializing skills?
That's very true.
That's a good question.
That's a great
very
point.
Good. That is a good question.
That's a great point because I know for me personally, no one ever came. My mom never entertained anyone at our house.
Mm.
And when people came by and they were unannounced and all these other things, they got shown the door. Now, with me being a grown man, I don't like entertaining at my house.
Wow.
Like people coming here. I always like saying, you know what, we'll go. Because my thing is, when I'm ready to dip, when I've had enough, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother.
And that's how my mom always played it. And she used to tell me, she's like, I'm not going to be caught up, have people here, and I'm ready to end, and I can't end, and blah, blah, blah. But that is true. I never saw my mom really mingle or socialize. Even now, it's really crazy. Even now, when she gets around people, and, you know, I'm trying to introduce her to people and things like that, she's so reserved, it's almost crazy, to the point that it's standoffish. But I've had my wife point out to me, you're the same way when you get around people. That same thing.
Mm.
So that's a good point. If you don't see, if your kids don't see you doing stuff and mingling, you're going to probably head down that pathway too. Maybe not all of them, but if you got two or three, one of them at least.
Yeah, and I say, you know, to answer your question, P-Town, I say that my kids absolutely see us entertaining. And we were just at a family event last weekend. With our friends, and they had a co-ed baby shower, so that's where we were. Well, it was 2 weekends. It was last weekend, the 30th, but anyway. But they, you know, we do, I can sort of relate to what Peyton was saying about not entertaining at the house because I know that, like, I can entertain, you know, at the house, but I got to get clearance. you know, because the, you know, the wife got everything, it's toys all over the place half the time, and, you know, so you got to give me some notice, depending on who you are, you know, and I'm fine with toys being in the living room, but my wife is not, you know, or the house being clean or whatever the case may be. Like, I can entertain, like, yo, you know, come on in. I mean, it ain't dirty, you know, it's just, you know, it just ain't as clean as she would like it for it to entertain. So, you know, generally, like, I just, if somebody's like, yo, you know, I'm coming over, don't do that. Now, if it was just me at home, then it's fine. Or me and the kids at home, it's fine. Like, you can roll up. If you're rolling past the neighborhood, holler at me, come on through. But if my wife is home, I'll be like, nah, you might not want to do that. And it goes back to my point, is what I was saying is that.
But you going to get the look? Is she going to give you the look?
No, I know not even, you know, I know not even, like, I can ask, but I probably know the answer. But the problem is that you run the, if you come through, you run the risk of being personally offended, and not on purpose, because it's just, you know, it's just not something that she wanted to do, you know. So, and people take that personal, whereas it's like, don't take it that's just how she is. You know, don't take it personal that she's not, like, you know, just think of me as the opposite, you know. And a lot of people think when they meet me, and I know some brothers can relate, but when they meet me, they're like, oh, we got to meet your wife. And it's like, yeah, you can meet her, but she's going to be the total opposite of what I am, you know.
Yep, I can relate to that, because that's how my wife describes me. And people that I've eventually gotten comfortable with, they're just what I say. First time I met you, I thought you was a prick.
Yes.
You know, and I'm just, well, I'm sorry, but you showed up here. My wife didn't let me know you were coming, and I didn't have beef with you. It's just that I had nothing to say to you.
And Peyton, what did you think? What did you think of my wife when you first met her? I mean, honestly. Now, y'all are good friends now, but honestly, you didn't think that she was how you know her today, right?
No, not at all. It took a long time. Because I remember your wife and I were counselors in the summer program, and we had spent, like, the whole summer together, like a group of us counselors. And everybody, by the last week or so, we're all joking and having a good time. And I was like, man, y'all are all great friends, right?
Yep.
Your wife flat out says to me, you ain't my friend. I'm not your friend.
That's right. I remember that. And I wasn't even there.
I was like, what? It really caught me off guard. And I was like, wait a minute. We're not, what? We've been together all summer. We helped these kids get situated, blah, blah, blah. She was like, I'm just telling you, we ain't friends. So
she was
like, it was a good summer, but you and I ain't friends. Then they caught, like, a couple other people off guard. Other people said it. They were like, wait a minute, so we ain't friends? She was like, I mean, we cool, but we not friends.
Right. Right.
And, but yeah, it took a long time to get to this point. I was, and I'm not gonna lie to you, when she told me that, it hurt. I was like, what? I mean, I was legitimately, like, confused, like, almost to the point of hurt, borderline angry. Because I'm like,
yeah,
we spent all this time together. We developed all these programs, did all this stuff. We was laughing. We had some tears at different points, all this stuff. And we not friends? Okay.
Yeah, and I tell you why she said that. And you can relate to this, because when's the last time you talked to my wife?
Oh, goodness. You got me. I mean, the last time I heard her voice was she got on the phone, like, what was that, 6 months ago, and gave her
right.
a story about whatever. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is when she said that she's not your friend, she meant that after that summer program, your communication, your hanging out, or whatever you do was probably going to be zilch.
Yep.
And that's not a friend. That's not a friend. I'm sorry.
That's
so
crazy,
that,
though, yo. I mean, listen to that, man.
I'm not gonna lie to you. At the time, it was legitimately crazy, and I remember standing there because, you know, we were all laughing it, and I was just caught off guard by that because it was the end. We had done summer program; it was like 8 weeks, you
yeah.
know, being on site, all that, and it was. She was like, "Yeah," I mean, just out of the blue, just raised her hand and was just like, "Yeah, no, wait, time out. Yeah, I just want to let you know we're not friends."
Wow.
And the fact of the matter is, she's burst a lot of people's bubbles like that. You know, because they literally like, oh, you know, we're friends now. She's like, no, we're not.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the
difference is, fellas, is that her definition of friend is not as loose and fast as it is with, you know, other people. Not to saying that other people's definition is wrong, but her definition is, again, listen to what if y'all remember what I said earlier. She has two good girlfriends, two, and she probably talks to them, you know, I can count on one hand how many times she talks to them in a year. And they're great friends.
Right.
Go ahead.
Please. I was just going to say that, because I wanted to take a step back, but still stay on the point that you're on, a step back with, I think it was Patrice who brought up the kids and their perception. So I want to flip the script on that and go another way. And say, like, well, my kids, they always say to me and my wife, it was like, whenever we say we're going out to an event or something like that, and we don't like to host here either, that's kind of out. Both of us are kind of in agreement with that. So we would go out to an event, and my kids would say, where are you guys going for real? Because y'all ain't got no friends. Because we don't go out that often. We're kind of like you're describing your wife, Rodney. I mean, I might talk to my friend every now and then, but I think, you know, whereas I think that was leading in a negative way in saying that, well, okay, your kids see you and you're not doing anything and you're not socializing and so forth and so on. Especially my oldest daughter is learning the other side of that, whereas I'm saying, well, hey, I only really have about three or four close friends, and I call them friends.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's my only friend, but I'm saying my close friends that I do hang out with every now and then or something like that. My kids do use the term, like most in their generation, use that term very loosely.
Right.
In terms of friend. And my daughter, I think all my kids too, but in particular my oldest daughter, because we talk a lot more than the others. And she says, well, you know, she's got all this cluster of people that, and all of them are friends. As soon as you meet them, you know, okay, you guys had one joke together, and all of a sudden they're friends. And and then a month later, you know, I'm saying, well, how's, you know, Natalie doing or whatever? I don't talk to her anymore. Like, well,
right.
Is she really a friend, or was she truly a friend? And we just had this conversation when I was down there last week that she's just now coming to the understanding of what I've been saying all this time in terms of having friends versus associates or people in your past kind of thing. So I think it's not so much a negative if that child doesn't see you doing a whole lot of socializing. It actually could be a plus, and you teaching them how to weed out people, or how to, maybe not even weed out, how to segment people in your life and determining what bucket you put them in.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually teach them a lot in terms of socializing that way, as opposed to just hanging out with everybody and then they're here 1 minute, gone the next, and you know, people over the house and you never see them again and things like that. That actually could fall back and burst in your face as well with your children.
Yeah. And also, from a, how do I say this the right way, because I know it's not Bible study, you know what I mean, but, you know, we show up for church and we do our jobs and our duties and our ministries and stuff, and we feel good about it. You know, but I think that, you know, sometimes Christians get caught in the same circles, and we get good religious emails and we send it to our religious friends, you know. But I think God uses us out in the community. And if we're shut off, you know, if we're shut off from the masses, how are we going to be as effective?
Well,
you see what I'm saying? I'm just saying there's been people that we have run across outside, and maybe we do use the word friend lightly, but have been able to help, or have said the right thing, or have been in that right place at the right time, you know, and have done the Lord's work. And I just think that sometimes we need to evangelize outside and not keep our circles so tight.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. Oh, go ahead, Rodney. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, go ahead. Never mind. Go ahead. I'll catch on after you.
Yeah, I was just going to say you don't have to be a friend, you know, to evangelize. And my wife, you know, she's had parents, and people she interacts with that know she's a Christian. And they've never, you know, they list like something about it, but they're not friends, you know. So that's all I want to say. Go ahead, Rodney.
You know, since Tony brought it up, and I'm not gonna make this Bible study either, but since that was thrown out there, I'll just say, you know, there is a scripture that says iron sharpens iron, as a friend countenance sharpens another. So if I think the mantra I've kind of try to go by is that there's a difference between ministry and fellowship.
Sure. Yes.
And the fellowship is where I'm going to get myself sharpened.
Sure.
I'm getting around friends or people that I trust, people that I know, people that are on the same wavelength as I am, and those are the people that I fellowship with. But that should never hinder the ministry, you know, regardless on who you are, what your title is or don't have a title, whatever. You know, whenever if you just, you know, talking – you see somebody hurting, you see somebody in trouble, you see somebody in despair or something of that nature, and you want to give them a good word. You know, I think you should be able to be sober enough to distinguish what moment you're in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you're fellowshipping with them, then yeah, they could be a friend. I don't think you need to know someone 7 years to determine whether or not they're a friend. I think you can know someone after the spirit. Like, you know, again, I try Bible study, but nonetheless, I think you can know that off the tip. But you have to be sober enough to understand what moment that you're in. Should I be ministering? Should I be fellowshipping? Or, you know, or should I be receiving ministry from someone else? Because I don't want to be arrogant and think I'm the only one that can give something either.
Yeah, right. But you're right, but again, we never know.
True.
You never know. And just like Rodney, you said that her family and everybody knows she's a Christian, right? Well, let's just say a perfect example, Peyton knows she's a Christian too. And there was something that Peyton wanted to discuss with her on that level that he didn't want to discuss with the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he got shot down, well, I'm not your friend, then Peyton never made that call.
No, but Peyton could make that call.
I'm just saying, let's just say it was somebody in that group, and it was like, okay, you know, I want to talk about something concerning faith outside of this group, and now I've just been shot down. I'm not a friend, so, you know what I'm saying?
I see what
unless
you're saying.
The door's being open, yes, if you all ever need to talk to me, if you ever need someone, I'm here.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to the point where, and Peyton knows this because he absolutely can make that call, and he respects my wife. I'm not going to speak for him, but the fact of the matter is that she...
And that was just an example. That was just an example.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is that she's honest, you know, up front. It's brutally honest, and it hurt. You know, Peyton, I know what happened. I wasn't there, but I know that really... And she's done it a lot of times, and it hurts. But the thing about it is that she sees that I'd rather hurt you, you know, not on purpose, but I'd rather hurt you up front than us getting, you know, hang around and then, you know, it's like, oh, you know, well, let's hang out next week. And she's just like, no. I mean, why? Yeah. We're not even really that close. You know what I'm saying? So,
for me, I just don't get that. I mean, but that's just probably me.
And a lot of people don't get it. But if you know her, like Peyton knows, like if you really do get to know her, like she's total. Even when I first met her, you know, I'm looking at her, I was like, this is a bougie chick. I mean, she's sitting there just with arms folded, like, what are we doing? You know, let's get her education. Y'all are goofing off. I mean, I was like, what is this? What's up with this chick? And she's totally different after I got to know her, but the fact of the matter is she doesn't let a lot of people in, you know, to her circle because you have to spend a lot of time around her. And and it's unfortunate that she does not have that time to spend with you. So, just getting back on topic, when it comes to women are looking for that, oh, let's go shopping, let's go to Applebee's, and we got two small children, and she's a teacher, and they've got ballet and piano and, you know, all four four of their grandparents are still living. They got three great-grandparents. So, you know, we got a lot of things going on where she does. It's no need even getting to the point where she's going to disappoint. She's like, no, I really can't go to Applebee's. No, I can't go shopping. You know, it's like a constant no, 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 you know, because of these other events. So that's why she just, you know, stops it at the gate. Like, you know what, we really ain't friends and we can't be friends, especially in this stage of my life. So, you know, again, this is just being honest, you know.
It is what it is.
A.T.,
yeah.
A.T., just being on, man, I just got on because I just came home from work. Catch me
what's up
on what's
brother?
Going on. Hey, how you doing, my brother? Good, man.
Yeah, I mean, the topic is, do you have a girlfriend problem? And I think right now we're talking about wives and their girlfriends and potential friends.
Yes.
Yes.
Wives and their potential friends. Okay.
Yeah. And I want to ask the question. Welcome, Bino. I just want to ask the question. How many friends do we really need? You know, I gave the example of, you know, my wife. And, I mean, I know, I absolutely know that friends are necessary. But how many friends, you know, do we need? And I got my cousin on Facebook. This guy has 3,000 Facebook friends.
I don't think that's an indication, though.
Yeah,
that means,
I know
you
that.
Know, any of us could have 3,000 if we sat there and accepted
right.
all the people,
exactly.
people's friends of friends of friends of friends. Yes.
But getting away from Facebook, getting away from that for right now, how many friends do we actually need?
Well, I think you'll find out how many you need you actually have when you die to see who comes to your funeral.
Yeah.
If there's only three people there, well, then there's something going on.
Yeah, because you sit up in the coffin, you're like, where is such and such?
Yeah.
They wouldn't, my friend.
I think it's good to have more than one, but I don't think you need more than one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'd hate to look at life that way. Of how many cars do I need? How many houses do I need? How many friends do I need?
Right.
You know what I mean? I want to be grateful for as many. If I can have a million friends, I want to be grateful because I'm in control of how close they get to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I got friends all over the country. And if I can call, there's people that I can call right now and be like, you know what? I need you. And they'd be like, what you need?
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? Other than, you know, and that's why I just found it so crazy to say, well, I'm not your friend, because then that cuts off. Because there's going to be times when you're going to need people.
Right. And to your point, Tony, I mean, you could have a million friends, but like you said, you're in control of how close. And so
exactly.
even with a million, you still only got three close ones.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you got to break it down, you know, close ones. And then you put them in categories. Some that you know is going to come through 99% of the time. Some that's going to come through 50% of the time. You know, some that are not going to come through, but they'll be there for moral support.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. But does anybody have any friends that say this all the time? Let's hang out sometime. Or call me so we can get together. Or I'll call you. And it never happens. Why can't they just be honest? Be like, no, we ain't hanging out.
No,
you know,
but we're all guilty of that. I'm guilty of that.
I was going to say, that's me.
Hey, look. I've been telling Bino for the longest, I'm coming down to Florida. I'm still ain't making
that's
my man.
Now, I know, Peyton, you don't be telling nobody that, do you, unless you're going to do it, right?
Oh, he's at. He's taking the fifth, pleading the fifth on that.
Yeah, I think so.
You there, Peyton? Oh, he's gone. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, literally, you know, let's hang out sometime. Yeah, call me so we can get together. What I do is, you know, I was guilty too, but what I've done is I've stopped doing that because I was disappointing folks. And literally, I pull out my BlackBerry calendar. I'm like, all right. Because if it's not scheduled, to me, it won't happen, you know, in my world. Because even if I don't have anything on the calendar, you know, that day, I'm not the type to look at the calendar and be like, oh, it's nothing on my calendar today. Let me call Tony and see what he's doing today. Or, you know, that's just not me. Like, I literally, you know, hang around and just piddle around the house or do what I need. I'm on my own time at that point. So if you don't make it into the BlackBerry calendar it probably won't happen on the spontaneous.
Okay.
You know, and that's just how I've gotten with two kids and a wife and a job and activities and knowing my wife's schedule. Go ahead.
Let me ask this then, Rodney. I mean, not to get into your personal business, but since you're putting it out there like that. But now, how does that work in the house? Meaning, your spontaneity, is it just with your friends and stuff, or can you just pick up and roll if your wife says, "Hey, let's just go down to Virginia Beach and hang out for the weekend"?
Yeah, and she's more spontaneous than I am. I'm a planner, you know, so literally, unless I plan it, unless I've thought about it, you know, probably she's the one to say, hey, you know, and even if it's something like going to get ice cream or something like that, you know, I'm probably not going to do that, but, you know, I'll roll with her. You know, that's what, something that she wants to do, but I'm more the type where if I'm just content with doing nothing, because it's not a lot of days for me. You know, because I, you know, I do a lot of stuff for the church. I do have a job. I do have two small kids, and I do have a lot going on. And I just like a lot of that time where I ain't got to entertain nobody. You know, I look forward to those days where it's nothing on the calendar, because there's always something on the calendar. And just a couple of weeks ago, we had spring break. And, you know, literally, I think we just did it at our own pace. You know, we just took it easy, didn't have a lot scheduled. But then, as soon as we came on spring break, it's like, oh, you got to go here. She got ballet 2 nights this week, but, you know, piano. You know, it was like back to the hustle and bustle and the grind. And so I'm doing that throughout the year. So I look forward to those times where it's nothing, you know, going on or nothing on the calendar, because that's just like me time, even if it is with, you know, families here and everything. But that's just me. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, wow, y'all hit something on the money, though, man. I was just listening to something y'all was just saying, man. But I think me and Roddy was talking about that earlier. Kind of similar thing with talking about comparing me with my older brother. And I used to always tell somebody, and I never did it out of being, you know, like trying to be wrong. But I'm going to tell you why I did some of the things I used to do. You know how we're talking about how you'd always tell somebody, you know, hey, man, I'm going to get on down there, but then you don't never make it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I found myself in the past always doing stuff to please people. So I say whatever it is that can make you feel good. So if I tell you I'm coming out to play golf with you, you know, I have no intentions on coming to play golf. You see, but I tell you that and make you feel good, and then later on I got to pay for that, because it's like, why did you come? Oh, I got tired of doing something else. But now, you know, I don't live like that now. You see, if I'm not coming, or if I'm home and you call me and say you want to go do something, if I feel like I'm home and I'm comfortable, I tell you just straight out, I'm home, man, I'm home, I'm chilling, I got some paperwork, I'm doing some stuff, watching television, today ain't a good day. But
right.
In the past, I wasn't never like that, man. I think I was people-pleasing. So I would tell you whatever it was to make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good way to live, but that hit a nail whenever I heard somebody talk about that.
Well, you know what, I'm going to jump back on topic too, just a second, Rodney, but you know, and Bino, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of that deals with our older brother who does that a lot more now and has been doing it to you since you've been away.
Right.
I think then you kind of recognized it a little more and knew that, hey, I was doing the same thing, and I don't, you didn't like him doing it.
Right.
Because, you know, get you all hyped up and say you're coming down and nothing happens or whatever. And I think then it kind of dawned on you about maybe how others felt about it and whatnot. And so to bring it back full circle with women, your woman having another other friends or whatever and going out and so forth and so on, how we feel about it, we also have to then take in consideration what we've been doing.
Yeah,
and now,
because
we, you know, maybe we go out all the time, but now she wants to go out. Now it kind of hits home and say, well, wait a minute. Now I know how you must have been feeling when I was out hanging out and maybe not calling you or letting you know where we at or whatever the case is.
Absolutely.
Maybe,
absolutely.
You know, now maybe that it jars something in you, and now maybe you now you want to talk about it as a family or as a couple or whatever and say, you know, maybe it's not such a good idea we go on vacations away from each other because I don't like the way I feel. And then you don't, you know, you don't answer the phone when I call or something. You know, I don't know. I know you've been out all night and you didn't answer the call when I called there. You know how brothers get.
Right.
She could start thinking other things for no reason.
Yeah. She could text you and let you know what's going on.
Yeah. She can text you.
and I want to ask that, is texting, Facebooking, Skyping, et cetera, is that equivalent to hanging out in person?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I would say so.
I knew I'd get a yes. Somebody say yes. Go ahead and say
yes.
Yes.
I was going to say yes.
Go ahead, Bino. Why
is
yes?
Yes, it is. Because I feel like that you're still, you're putting yourself in that environment. Even though you're not physically in that environment, you put yourself in that environment. That's why I say yes. Because you physically you're not in that. That's just almost like it's almost like the you ever heard that that it's wrong for you to even think about committing a particular sin, like for instance fornication or committing adultery by just thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you put yourself there. You see what I'm saying? You're on Facebook, you flirting or you're talking to somebody else, blah, blah, blah. So you're not there physically, but in your mind you're there. And if your mind is there, your spirit is there. So you are living in it, but you're just not there, committing it in the physical.
I think you might get some disagreement with that. Somebody disagreed with that.
Okay.
Somebody said no.
Okay.
Texting, Facebooking, Skyping.
No, definitely.
Well, it depends
not.
On what you're doing with it. That's what I'm saying. If you're doing these things and you're doing these things out of attention and you're doing these things out of, say for instance that you could be. Just say for instance, some people just put your mind there for a minute that you got somebody that you know that your position you're in, you know, as far as your home, you're married or whatever. And if you say for instance somebody just happens to catch your eye and then the communication gets real good where it feels good to you now. See what I'm saying? So now your mind and your heart is there. And now you're kind of almost in the middle of a flirt. You see what I'm saying? Because it feels good.
About
now
being
you're getting attention.
Engaged.
Now you're getting attention. Now you're getting attention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, here's what I would have to say on that. When I was down visiting my daughter down there, and Bino, I know you when you came over, she was doing it. You might not have noticed it, but nonetheless, I'm down there with my daughter. We were supposed to have been watching a movie together. Me and her, and we sitting up in there watching a movie, and she has an iPad and an iPhone, and she's Skyping one of her little friends or whatever, Skyping them while we're watching this movie, and then on her iPhone, she's texting somebody else, and supposed to be watching the movie and talking it over with me. So I think even if you're at a party or a function, and you got these three or four people around you where you could have conversation, you wouldn't do that in person. You wouldn't be able to carry on all four of these kind of conversations. But the fact that they're not there in person and they can't see each other or talk to each or know that another person's even there, she's Skyping and just talking to them. I know because I'm there. And then, but over here in the left hand, she's texting somebody else. You know, so it's there's definitely a difference there.
Okay, well, I can talk about it.
In your social life, and that I think that's a difference, and that's the way of the world, though. That's the way we're going. We're getting away from a lot of good social habits.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Etiquette.
Right.
Social etiquette. Yeah.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I call you, don't text me back. I'm saying if you're in a meeting, I'm in a meeting. Or I'm playing golf or I can't talk to you. That's acknowledgement. But if I call you to talk and you text me back, what's up? That's a problem. Don't text me back. What do you want? What's up?
Right.
Oh, pick up the phone and call me. We ain't that technical yet.
Wow. Well, you know, some people prefer you know, to I don't know if the right word, but some people prefer to hide behind, you know, a text or Facebook rather than picking up the phone.
Yeah,
you know, that's you know, that's just how some people are, especially introverts.
Yeah, I don't call those kind of people. They're not even in my circle. Those kind of people in my most of my circle is buck wild anyway. They want to get on the phone and hey, what is going on?
Right.
You know, don't text me back. That to me, that's crazy. But some people do it. They get comfortable with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, don't send me a message on Facebook. I called you yesterday. I left you a message on your answer machine, and you're going to send me a message on Facebook.
Yeah, on like, Facebook. Yeah, what'd you want? Got your message.
Yeah.
What do you mean? But, you know, do your real friends still respect your friendship despite the fact that y'all don't talk or hang out as much as you used to?
Yeah.
Do real friends still respect the friendship?
Mine do.
Yeah, the real friends, yes. I would say the real friends, yes.
Yeah, the real friends, I agree. They do.
We'll call, you know, the one thing that is a pet peeve of mine is if I call somebody, and it could be, you know, some people I don't talk to for months on end, but we're still friends, and I can call them and, you know, we pick up right where we left off, and it's all good, and we do that promise thing. Yeah, okay, we're going to have to get together. Let's get together next week, or let's get together next month, and it might not never happen. But nonetheless, that's how our relationship goes, and I think that's a sign of a good friend. But my pet peeve is when I'm calling someone, or, you know, they call me or something, saying, hey, man, where you been? You can't call nobody? And I really just want to hang up on you right then and there. I'm already prone. You don't talk to me as if I'm your like we're spouses or we're, you know, right. Girlfriends or something, boyfriend or something like that. I need I need you to know I got a life.
Right.
And the phone always worked both ways, and I used to get into that conversation, be like, wait a minute, the phone worked both ways. What's your problem? I don't even bother with that no more. I'm just getting too old for that or whatever. I just initially say, hey, wait, you need to call me back and start this over.
That's good words. Nat, does anybody only see their friends at each other's kids' birthday parties?
I don't know if I'm that bad.
Yeah, do you only see your friends at each other's kids' birthday parties? No? Yeah, I'm on somebody's street. They just ain't speaking up. But let me ask this, since it's 10:30. Do you mind if your lady is friends with any of her exes?
Whoa.
Wowzer.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was where did that come from?
My eyes was getting heavy. I think they up now, though.
I'll ask it again just to wake you guys up, you know, because it's that time, you know. Do you mind if your lady is friends with any of her exes? And when I say friend, you know, you can break it down into what capacity. They can be Facebook friends or, you know, they can, you know, be meet up for lunch type friends. I mean, or they could just talk on the phone type friends, you know.
Look,
so.
I'm going to say this with all the trust that a man and woman could have in a relationship.
Okay.
No. That cannot happen.
Hey, Rodney?
Yes.
Oh.
No, with no.
All right. That is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, with the situation.
Hey, look, Tony, and even with that one, I'm going to add to it and say, because I say so.
Exactly, because I say so.
Absolutely.
Man once told me that if you dig a hole, it's easier to go back and dig that hole. Again, then to go find a new hole to dig.
Wow.
So if you was the one that dug that hole one time, you should have stayed in it. Because now it's cool. That is not happening.
What you're saying is that some of y'all are still friends with some of your exes.
No.
No.
I'm saying that.
No.
No. No.
Nobody's friends with an ex.
No.
No.
Mm.
I still know you.
Right. I still know you. I have one that who on my birthday tries to inbox. They were not Facebook friends, but they inboxed me a happy birthday on my birthday, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's cool. That's cool because
yeah.
Y'all definitely celebrated that at one point together.
No, and, you know, the funny, look,
I don't know if you want to sell them old memories, Rodney.
Hey, look, the funny thing is, the whole time we were together, they act like they couldn't remember it.
Oh. and wait a minute. So you're not Facebook friends, so how do they know? It's not no reminder up there. How do they even know now?
They knew it then. They were just being who they were.
Oh,
that's why
yeah.
We had,
gotcha.
Yeah, they were just that. One of the reasons why we went in the other direction.
Like, you can't even remember my birthday. Get out of
right.
here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Silly
I only know how to go through all the settings and do the blocks and stuff like that. I can do that.
Yeah.
But no, exes are out the question.
Yeah, but when
yeah,
it comes
yeah.
to, you know, when it comes to friendships with the opposite sex in general, who's more secretive, men or women?
Say that again, Rodney.
When it comes to friendships with the opposite sex, who's more secretive, men or women?
I think women.
Why so?
Because a man is more, a man exposes almost everything. That's why a man always gets caught. A woman will hide stuff inside. And then, you know, later on it'll come out. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry I didn't tell you, but, I talked to Joe yesterday.
Yeah. Have y'all seen that commercial where the guy's on the ski lift? It's a sprint.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, literally, he's like, yeah, Sheila, you know, is it all right if I date Sheila? He's like, sure, we broke up, 6 months ago or something?
Yeah, she's been trying to date him for a year now.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree with that. I think it is women.
Women are more secretive. Okay.
I don't agree.
Men are conniving, but I don't know about secretive.
Okay.
Because men really don't care if they get caught or not. At the end of the day, and at the root of the matter, they really don't care, because if they did, they would do things secretly. But bringing women home to your own house, that's not secretly.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, leaving phone numbers in your pocket, that's not secretly.
Yeah, you got a point.
You know, putting a block or a code on your phone, that's just dumb, because she's going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what's the code to your phone? Because I want to see what's going on there that you don't want me to see.
Right.
I mean, we just do things that are just like almost we want to get caught to show who we are. I don't know. I think that's a man thing. But women, on the other hand, they go through, I think they go through some deep CIA trainings and whatnot.
Navy SEAL
training. Because they will try, if they don't want you to know, typically you will not find out.
Yeah, and it was probably women that snuck up on Bin Laden.
Yeah. It was the women's SEAL team.
Yeah, the women's SEAL team. We like double tapped to the eye, didn't even know they was up in there, you know. But,
right.
Good words,
right.
Good words. But does anybody, on that note, go ahead, someone talk.
I was going to say, wasn't there a snitch, one of his wives?
Probably.
That's what I was hearing. I don't know if that's a rumor or not, but if that was the case, then, you know, she had a secret. She had a secret for 10 years. She knew where he was at. Nobody else did.
I didn't hear that one yet.
That's what I heard. I don't know how true it is. It was on the news, but I don't even know how that is.
Good words. But does anybody on here feel threatened or insecure about any of your ladies' male coworkers? I mean, not that you'd ever admit it, you know, but
I think in the past I did.
Okay.
Yeah, in the past. Yeah, I don't think that, you know, now I'm not living like that, but I think in the past, yeah, I have lived that before.
And how did that work out, Bino?
It didn't. It really didn't. It was something that continually just haunted me. And I just had to, you know, remove myself from that situation and stop believing in that. And then what I did is I started thinking about the things that were more valuable to me. Like, you know, what do you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
And once I start thinking about those things, that chased that away from me.
Well,
see what I'm saying? I don't know. I mean, if I'm saying that the right way, I think that what I did is I start thinking about the more valuable things. Like, you know, I guess you could say it's kind of like hiding that bad thought, but trying to replace it. What's really going on positive in this thing? And
right.
Then I start feeling better. You see what I'm saying? But really, I could have been fooling myself the whole time, but it didn't work out anyway. But I know that at the time that I had went through that. So, you know, that's what I'm really basically just saying, that I went through that. But during that time, it was a hard battle for me to deal with. But all I had to do is keep, you know, to myself. I had to keep telling myself, well, you know, well, maybe I'm thinking these things, and these could be demonic thoughts that ain't even real. So I try to live on reality. Reality is, what are you doing for me? What are you doing with me? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That I can think positive of, that I can leave this thought alone, because this thought might not even be true, because a lot of times we get thoughts in our heads that are not even true. You see what I'm saying? And then we start believing in these thoughts. The more they start compounding, the more we start believing in them. So you got to let those thoughts go, and you got to think about, you know, hey, you know, it's like, where are we going? What are we doing? And then once you start thinking about that, then you kind of leave those thoughts alone.
Would you have rather her just come out, you know, in that situation and just
and talk about it?
Just been honest and tell you that, you know, she thinks that Tyrone was attractive?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And in that way, that would have been the end of that. Okay, so what? Are you attractive? So what? What's that got to do with us?
Right. Because, I mean, does it even matter if her coworker is
really
attractive or not? You know?
No, it don't matter.
I agree. I mean, because if you're secure in your relationship, you shouldn't really even care, right? Am I right? I mean, isn't it a trust issue?
I think human nature will find its will rear its ugly head in any situation.
Yeah.
And even, you know, you trust, but still, there's still that unknown thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That unspoken situation that you may not know, you may not want to know, you may not be mature enough to know. So you know, a strong woman will handle it.
And look, you know, at the yes, and I go with the human nature thing because everybody has in them the ability to go outside of their covenant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has that ability, so let's not be fooled that we or our spouses just, you know, we don't have that ability because we... Everyone has the ability. Now, I'm not saying that any of our spouses or us would do that and go outside of it, but, you know, everybody has that ability. Like for me and my wife, you know, I don't think that we're insecure at all, you know, but we'll talk about, like, for instance, she loves Vin Diesel like most women and Derek Jeter is her other guy, you know, she likes, and I'll say, you know, I like Jada Pinkett and Stacey Dash, and we're okay with that. You know, we toss that around here. I think we're more okay with it for the simple fact that they out in Hollywood somewhere.
Yeah.
And we ain't never gonna see them.
Right.
We ain't never really gonna be alone with them.
You might, Jada from Baltimore. You might.
Jada ain't living in Baltimore no more.
All right. Well, penthouse, I never get in, if that's the case anyway. Mm-hmm. And she is in Baltimore. But still, I think my point. But now, when you say Vin Diesel is working in the next desk next to her.
That's what I'm talking about.
You see, now that, and I do trust her, but at the same time, I do know that there's a measure of ability and capability in her to be able to do that. This is what I was saying, and I'm not saying she should quit her job, but this is what I was saying earlier. This is what I was saying earlier in terms of hanging out, like the, you know, leaving no room for interpretation and not putting myself in situations to be compromised kind of thing. You know, I'm not going, if I have an attractive woman at my job, I'm just simply not going to go out to a business luncheon or a business dinner. I'm just not going to do it. Now, other brothers say, well, hey, you know, I'm fine with it. I know who I am. I'm strong and what I know and whatever. And then you're the ones that, you know, we'll read about on the front page of a paper or whatever because your woman then went and took the knife to you or whatever and in the middle of the night, you know, that Lorena Bobbitt thing. But, you know, that's a human nature that Tony was just talking about, that I don't know if it's necessarily a trust thing. She never did anything to spoil my trust. But if I start hearing his name one too many times at the dinner table or in conversations about your day at work, then, yeah, I'm going to have a little unease about it. That's just me. And I don't think that makes me insecure.
So how would you feel about her texting or Facebooking her male friends and coworkers? Is that over the line? Is that, you know, y'all sitting at a dinner table and she ain't bringing his name up, but she texting him? Or, you know, hitting him up on Facebook.
Text is out the question. Text is definitely out the question. I think text is a little more personal than Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, your friend had 3,000 friends or whatever. You don't have 3,000 numbers in your phone.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little more personal. And so if that's happening, that's a problem. I do know on Facebook we have mutual friends. We used to work with the same company.
Mm-hmm.
But we have mutual friends, and I know, you know, she has some connections there, and there's some Facebook there. But, however, it's not restricted. I have her password. She has my password. So that, I don't think that's an issue. But, yeah, I think it's texting. I got a little issue with that one for sure.
Yeah, I do too. There's absolutely – I don't text any women. Period. Don't period. Mm-mm.
Really?
Unless, I mean, I've got my daughter, friends that, you know, but not – ex, not co-workers, you know.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that, Tony, because I text women at work, you know, for work-related stuff, but not.
Well, I mean work-related stuff, yeah, I can understand that. But
yeah, I was going to say, I do have that relationship.
I mean, to the point where you can hand your phone, if you're using the bathroom, you can hand your phone to your wife and say, hey, can you respond to Sally at work?
Exactly.
Just respond to tell her, you know, I'll get back with her in a couple minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the next time you talk to Sally, she said, why did you go off on me?
Right. Yeah. Like, don't be texting me when I'm at home with my wife. man. Be more careful. But, you know, on that note, can men and women really be friends?
That's the age-old question.
You know, we know that men and women are friends with benefits. But, I mean, can men and women really be friends?
Yes.
I'll tell you what I told my daughter. Okay, go ahead, Tony. You tell the talk to yes.
Well, I'm saying yes because I think I mentioned it before. I've got two female friends.
Uh-oh.
One closer than the other. You've met one, Liz.
Yeah.
Who was at my party.
Yep.
That's one. She is not the closest one. The other one is Judy. And we're friends. And it is what it is. My wife knows both of them, has hung out with both of them. We've all been out of town together, that kind of stuff. And my wife has one friend whose name is Anthony. And a matter of fact, today was his birthday, and she went to go have lunch with him. You know, and it you know, just call me when you're done. I'm going to go do my thing, and you do your thing, and it is what it is. Tell him I say happy birthday. And it's, you know, and we asked the question. She never even asked me about my relationship with my female friends, you know, because I brought them in early.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
they didn't
asked her.
Pop up on you.
Exactly. I asked her because that's just what men do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, yeah, I know y'all friends, but did he ever hit? I don't know.
Right.
Tell me where y'all stand. Tell me, you know, I want to know. Everybody that comes around, every male that comes around my circle, I want to know if you all were together sexually. I just want to know
right.
who we're working with.
So let me.
And
let
I
me
think
ask,
that's fair.
Let me ask you this, Tony, before I go into mine.
Yeah.
Does that also apply? Maybe you are speaking to that, but does that also apply with attractive women who are attracted to you?
Attracted to me. Friends?
Yeah. Attractive women who are attracted to you. Yeah, friends.
Oh, no. I mean, the circle is so short. You know, I don't even have that.
Okay. I just want to put it out.
Yeah, I think the thing what Rodney is getting to is that something I wanted to ask, too. Just if something were to happen to you and the missus, could any of your female friends be a potential plan B?
No.
Okay.
Because it would have already happened before the missus. That's what I'm saying. I mean, the opportunities were present for a long time, and it never
we just decided, hey, we're better off friends, so we're just going to be friends. And it's always been that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to agree with Tony, but I'm gonna speak to another point that I told my daughter, the oldest one, because we've had this conversation a million times, and she keeps proving me right. Or I should say the guys that, you know, she's so-called friends with keep proving me right. And I tell them, you know, hey, these guys, now, granted, we're older than these early 20s, guys or whatever who are, I tell you, you know, they're interested in one thing. At the end of the day, these guys are interested in one thing. You're a beautiful girl, they're interested in one thing. No, we're just friends. They're a friend of my boyfriend kind of thing. And I say, oh, okay, so then they become their best friend. Oh, okay, boyfriend breaks up with them, and now, you know, they're always around. And I said, listen to me. And so eventually she ended up finding out that what I was saying was true, because like some of them later on have come out and wrote her letters or whatever and said, hey, you know, I just want to know, I always kind of liked you. And I just never said, I said, exactly what I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. These guys only want one thing from you, and they'll do whatever. You know, they'll be appeased by you. You can Skype, you can text, you can do this and do that. They won't say nothing to you about it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But don't let them get too close, or have, you know, don't let them in, more or less, because once that happens, they'll show you who they really are.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you know, that's kind of how me and my daughter talks. But going back to what Tony was saying, I'm agree with Tony, because I think once you mature enough, like I said, those guys or even some girls at that age, I mean, we remember, you know, you ain't even thinking for yourself. You thinking with your lower head than the one you should be thinking with. But I think as you get mature or whatever, especially if you're in your marriage is sound and it's tight and, you know, there's no insecurities or whatever, yeah, I believe that you can be friends with somebody else. And if you see a sign, because you're sober in that marriage, you see a sign that points in another direction, you start seeing that this person may have some interest in you. After all, whether that developed over time or it was from the beginning, I think when you start seeing those signs, you're able to just cut it loose or cut it back or whatever. And I think that comes with maturity, like I said, and soberness and your relationship, the soundness and tightness of that relationship. So, yeah, I think you can be friends with women.
Yeah, yeah. And your wife has got to be, I mean, if it's you, your wife has got to be extremely open-minded. Extremely open-minded, because both my friends.
Somebody's laughing.
Somebody's wife is closed-minded.
No, I was laughing, and the reason I was laughing is that, yeah, guys and girls can be friends, and from the audience I heard, yeah, but they just got to be friends with your wife, too.
Yeah.
That's why I had to laugh.
Yes, that's important.
Yeah, with those female friends, are there certain subjects that are taboo that you should never discuss with your female friends?
Yeah. Your marriage, maybe?
Yeah, or anything related to your marriage? Anything related to your marriage is off limit with the female friends?
For me, yes.
Any problems that you have in your relationship with your wife, it should be off limits with your female friends.
I think the good or the bad. I'm not going to let you in there at all.
Yeah, you shouldn't let them in there at all. You got to handle that at home.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Go ahead, Tony.
Go ahead, Tony.
I don't know about that, because I've been in a situation where I was acting up, you know, going through whatever men go through. Not cheating or anything like that, but you know how you get in our own world.
Mm-hmm.
And my female friend has put me back in my place and said, no, that's wrong. You can't be doing that.
Wow.
You know? And go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, and at the time I actually needed that, because had I not confided in her, you know, about what I was going through, then maybe I wouldn't have got that information. I might not have gotten it from one of my boys.
Right.
So it took another woman to understand women to say, whoa, we're not built that way. When this is what you got to do, this is how you got to handle this certain situation.
Now,
see, certain times you need the female's perspective that somebody is not your mother or your sister, just another woman that, you know, it's going to give you the real, I think.
Okay. So, but now, you know, always remember that coin has two sides to it.
Yeah.
So would it be okay then, since men and women can be friends and your wife has a, you know, and I'm not saying yours do, but let's just say our wives have a close male friend or what have you, is it okay for her to let him into our relationship to give a male perspective?
Just like somebody just earlier said, absolutely not. And I will say more to the, I don't want to be male chauvinist, but if there's another perspective that she needs to ask him, by all means ask. I mean, if I'm on top of my game, that means I'm doing what I feel is right. So, you know, if she asks you, the Pope, anybody, it should still come up to, you know, an answer that I would probably give her, or maybe that I need for her to hear from another man.
Yeah,
I think it all depends on the topic.
It definitely all depends on the topic. Now, you know, sexual stuff, no, that's, we don't talk about that. I'm not going to talk about it. Don't you talk about it. You know what I mean? But, you know.
Yeah, you definitely can't talk about that with the Pope.
He shouldn't ask your wife how you hit it.
No, she should know that. That's crazy to me. You know?
Right.
I mean, but if she goes to him and be like, you know what? You know, he forgets to wash dishes. He don't clean up behind himself. He don't do this. I mean, are all guys like that? He's going to say absolutely right. Most 99%, yeah. He's just being a man.
Or he'll say, yes, 99.9% are, but that 0.1 is me.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm not saying me. I'm saying that's what he would say.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right, yeah.
He would say.
He put himself on the pedestal.
Yeah.
Right.
If his motives are to get with that woman, he's going to
sure.
Say, right, yeah. You know, most men... But, you know, I wouldn't do that. If you were my girl, I wouldn't do that to you.
Right.
And then
you know, in all actuality, I thought that's what this was about the whole time, us men having girlfriends.
Oh.
We haven't got to that yet.
I'm not saying right now on the phone, but I'm saying we originally started it, but then when Rodney started saying what the call was about, then I was like, oh, okay. Well, I got to change my mindset because I thought that it was going to be about what we were just talking about. Because I got a couple girlfriends. They're on my phone.
All right. Maybe we'll wait till we turn off the tape.
Yeah. We're going to get there. Because that was actually my next question. You know, does anybody have a girlfriend? And what I'm talking about with a girlfriend is a sex buddy, a jump off.
I have had.
That tape's still rolling.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Rod, ain't nobody going to say no.
I'm married now, so no.
Yeah.
And if you do, lie about it. If you do, please just be quiet.
And if we do, just be quiet.
Just be quiet.
Be quiet.
Oh, man.
Well, all y'all married men, y'all better speak up and say, not me anymore.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Say that, brother. Say that.
you go out a tough one, didn't you?
Yeah. Let me
try to get some brothers shot on this.
Yeah. let me pull this train back on the track, you know, and get to what...
I guess as close as you can possibly say, I would say that I do though, and I am married, but I'm separated.
Okay.
Go ahead, bro.
That's a little different.
Yeah, but you're still technically married.
Oh yeah, I'm married myself.
Yeah.
Now, what do you mean by as close as you can? Meaning you guys are not sexually active, but you're very close.
I'm still.
He did not say
that.
He said he was separated. He ain't say the other thing.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying, like, basically, if Rodney comes out on this airwave and says, "Yeah, I have a girlfriend," that's probably gonna be that. You know, that's gonna be the end of days for him. But you know, but for me, it's a little bit different. But you know, but I mean, I am still married, so.
Right.
Yeah.
But you do have a girlfriend, and not. Is that what you would call her, or no?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what.
So
I was
you technically
trying.
Have a girlfriend and a wife.
Yeah.
But he's legally separated. But he's legally separated.
I'm not legally separated.
So he has a girlfriend and a wife. Y'all don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, no, we do.
We do.
Yeah.
We used to.
We do understand because
I heard about it.
I've been there. You know what I'm saying? But you separated. Is what it is.
Yeah.
In my state, there's no legal separation. You are separated waiting for a divorce.
Yeah, separated waiting for a divorce. I mean, that's... But
right.
You got a girlfriend.
Technically, you're still married. In my state, there's no formal legal separation. I live in Virginia, so...
Yeah, you gotta stop trying to sugarcoat things. The brother he's blunt with it. He said he has a girlfriend and a wife. Everybody trying to help him out when he ain't asked for no help.
We always gonna look out for each other.
Yeah, he was like, technically, yes. You know, technically,
right.
Yes. I fit the bill.
Yeah.
But let me pull this string back on the tracks and try to get down to what Peyton was talking about. Should your marriage cost some of your friendships? And what I mean is, do the dynamics of our friendships have to change once we get married? And specifically those close female friends that y'all were speaking of.
I want to say, and I think it all depends on the individuals and the friends that you've had. I mean, now, a lot of these friends I'm talking about, these girlfriends that I have known, and they're and let me clarify, by that I mean friends that are women. They are
right.
My friends. They're really good friends. I've had them for a long time.
Right.
You know, it's been some of them, you know, all of them, not some of them, all of them were well before my wife.
Right.
So, you know, when I get on the phone and I talk to them and we talk about different things or they're sharing stuff with me or whatever, I mean, heck, it's been twice. That, you know, they've come into town, they've stayed here at the house with us, you know, and they were at the wedding and they were all this stuff. Now, of course, at different points, I got to really filter some of the things that are going on and make sure that I really get the pulse of my wife, because at different points, like, she'll joke around and be like, "Oh, you're talking to your girlfriend now."
Oh.
But I really go like, that conversation and be like, "All right, wait a minute now. Now, where is that coming from? Because
right. Know
who this is, and you know pretty much how we are. I mean, you know that. And we always seem to bring it back on track, and it's never gotten into anything crazy, and she never feels threatened or feels like things are going out of line. But I think that also lends itself to the fact that she's seen our dynamic. She's seen me with each of them, and she knows that that's not how it's not that type of party. I mean, it's never gotten to that point, ever. You know, it's just one of those things where this is somebody that's a really close friend. I value their feedback. I value definitely what they have allowed us to, I guess, to grow into with our friendship. And that's pretty much it. I mean, but you do have, I mean, it's one of those things where I can honestly say no crazy conversation has ever come up where I can be like, "Oh, I've been thinking about this person in a sexual manner or wanting to do anything." I mean, maybe back at the beginning, like I'd say way, way back. And, like, again, this would be well before my wife. But at this stage and where things are now, nah, it's not even there. Now, I tell you, one of them, in all actuality, we might talk every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dead serious. We talk. We talk every day.
Wow.
Every
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
And when I say we talk every day in, yeah, it might be for maybe like 15, 20 minutes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not 15 to 20 minutes, it might be multiple times over the day that add up to about 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're just basically just catching up, talking about things. You know, she right now is going through a professional opportunity, about to move, take a new job. So we've been really talking about a lot of stuff about that because professionally, you know, we've been there for each other and have supported one another through a lot of different things. Situations where she's gone through some things with men that she's trying to you know, definitely pursue a long-lasting relationship with or stuff, a struggle, she'll bounce stuff off me, and I can just bring it back and be like, wait a minute now, I see where dude is coming from, or wait a minute, this dude is really running game and you need to get ready to dip. It's almost like, honestly, I look at him like, I'm really like a sister because, you know, I don't have any siblings, but that's kind of how I would describe it. It's like we just have a connection. So I don't know what it is.
Your wife may be right. She is your girlfriend.
So two things. Right. So two things. So is there, and you can be completely honest, is there any attraction for you to her?
No.
There's no attraction. Okay.
No.
But so the second thing is when you were saying, you know, she's talking about her relationship, whatever, and you were like, I think it's time for you to dip from there. That's the kind of stuff that I was saying in terms of the two-sided coin, and your wife has a friend who she talks to, and when you let them in that relationship, that's some of the stuff that she could be hearing concerning you and her relationship. Mm-hmm. He's saying, just go ahead and dip. It's about time for you to dip. You shouldn't be taking. Yeah, this is where I come into play, or come into with my opinion of saying, well, you know, depending on that relationship, who that is, I'm not necessarily in agreement with that one for my relationship.
And I definitely understand what you're talking about, because I know, and I'll say this, I mean, I remember at the beginning when my wife and I really started getting serious, you know, at the time, you know, we were boyfriend and girlfriend, when we really, really started getting serious, I'm not going to lie, I did the guy thing and told her, all these dudes, you know, they got the dip.
Mm-hmm.
They done, you know, and she, you know, was really upset about that. But it was like one of those things where I'm going to be honest with you, I really put an ultimatum down on that and said, look, you can keep talking to these cats or you can talk to me. It's your call, you know, and that's what has to be done and blah, 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 blah. And she did that. I mean, she got rid of all the guys. And, you know, I'm knocking on wood, I don't think there's any out there right now because, again, I know my wife. Mm-hmm. And she just got rid of them. Now, on the flip side, you know, she never asked me to do anything like that. She just hasn't.
Okay, but did you get rid of yours?
No. The one I just was talking about, talked to her every day for about 20 minutes, man, it has never even come up. Stayed in this house for like 5 nights when she was in town. Just hung out. Was here. Did stuff with me and my family and all that stuff. Because she's, like, again, and it's not one of those things where, and I think that's what really lends itself to my wife seeing how it's set up, is because I ain't trying to hide my family from her.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm not doing anything that she wouldn't know. I'm always talking about all the things that are going on with us and the things that are happening. And it's like that honestly, it's honestly the only thing is she's a woman. She would always be with my boys.
Right.
And that's the legitimate truth. I mean, and it's not one of those things. And like I said, when I first met her, like long, long time ago, she probably would have got it if it ever gotten to that point. But it never got there. That was just not it. It was just one of those things where we just kept talking. Then we kept growing, evolving, developing, professional stuff, all these other things, and we just been friends. And
let me ask you this. This will be a big question. If, because I'm hearing your relationship and I hear how passionate you are about, you know, you guys' relationship, and that's cool. But my question is, if your wife had a problem with the relationship, and I'm guessing she doesn't, obviously, but if she had a problem with that relationship, what do you do?
I'm going to be honest with you. I talked to a couple of my boys about that because they've seen us interact, and they're just like, man, at any point, your wife could really tip the scale on this and be like, yeah, it's me or her.
Mm-hmm.
And that honestly is one of the things where I don't know what I would do. I'm going to be honest with you. I know I know what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
Truth, I do know what I'm supposed to do. But at the same time, I mean, this is a really good friend, like I said, who's been there and who has helped me out in some serious situations regarding me, just as if one of your boys would help you out.
Mm-hmm.
And now I got to decide, like, okay, I really talk to her anymore because my wife now all of a sudden out of nowhere is threatened.
Right.
I mean, that would honestly be a tough one for me. I'm not going to lie to you.
But
and
what
the, other,
it
the other girlfriend, not so much. I got to stop calling her girlfriends. The other friend is a girl.
It's a girlfriend. She's a friend that's a girl, so it's your girlfriend. It's cool.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
The other woman that is, God, that's just as bad. The other,
the other woman?
That's worse. That is female.
Yeah.
That would end, okay, I mean, that might be all right, but it would still be hard. But this one that I'm talking about that I talk to every day, yeah, that would be kind of hard. Like, for me to, I'd really have to sit and reflect on that, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'd make the right decision.
Yeah.
And I'd probably go ahead with what I'm supposed to do in order to make sure that my wife and my marriage and things are where they need to be, and hope that my friend would understand. But I probably end up still talking to her. Just wouldn't do it on my house phone and in the house and stuff like that.
Wow. You really going to get yourself in trouble like that, brother. Sneaking around.
He's going to have a secret stash.
Say that.
Hey, but you know what? I feel it, though. I feel him. I do.
Yeah, we know. Y'all got the same birthday.
I do. I feel him because, you know what I mean? It's just, he needs that, just like I need mine, you know? And again, mine has been around. She's a best friend, like a sister, all of that, you know? And my wife has seen us interact. And it's like, honestly, like we're married because we fight, we argue, we go at each other, we have fun, we party, we do everything, you know? But I've included my wife to the point where she is not like a third wheel. She is like half of it. Or, you know, she's a friend of hers, too. You know, so for, and just like he said, she came over 5 days, stayed at the house. So you know there ain't nothing going down, ain't nothing going to happen. This is what you see.
Yep.
So what if that changed? That's my question.
It can't change.
Wait,
but how would it?
Everything
what?
How
what
would
it
change?
I'm talking about her. I ain't talking about you. What if we ask her, like, is there any sexual attraction towards your male friend Tony or Peyton? And she was like, yeah, well, a little.
Fire away. That would never. Mm-mm.
And I'm going to be honest with you.
Y'all being naive, brothers.
Y'all
being real naive, brothers.
No. I think that believing that having friends with the opposite sex is actually being naive, even in a marriage. Because it can be done successfully.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, honest truth is, like, I honestly value what our friendship is. She brings a lot. I mean, she has helped me a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that I'm sitting out there and I'm every time my wife and I, like, but the stuff I share with y'all about my house and home life on this phone call, you know, I don't get into it in depth with her because, again, I'm using common sense on this. My mother said,
right.
I mean, my mom used to always tell me growing up, you have a whole lot of extra women hanging around and stuff like that. A woman should never bring her girlfriends around and have, you know, women around her husband and blah, 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 all this stuff. So I'm hearing that, you know, and I'm not trying to put myself out there too far. But it is one of those things where before I was married, I would tell her everything. She knew about every girl, everything that was going on, what was done, how it was done, all that stuff. But now, I mean, we have those boundaries and we respect that. And she is legitimately, I mean, just a good person. I mean, that's it. And we do the same thing that we just brought up. We fight, we argue, and sometimes I'm not talking to her. Matter of fact, today we were talking. She had to go to the doctor, and she was talking to me about something about her toe or something or whatever, and was walking me through all this stuff and was like, well, what do you think about this? Should I ask these questions? We talked about that. Actually, today we might have talked for like an hour while I was driving to work. You know, and then, I mean, that's just our dynamic.
I like to flip this coin often. and so if she had a male friend, you know, Boris Kojo was staying at the house for 5 days, would that be okay?
Not Boris.
Yeah, Boris.
Not Boris.
Okay, I might have went extreme on that. But
before we go that far, let me ask you this about your friend. How attractive is she?
She's attractive.
Yeah, so is mine. That's kind
of you have a very strong fight.
That's what I said about ridiculous. Plan B. I asked that question about Plan B.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't. Well, okay, let me throw this out.
Yeah. All your long time, go to my Facebook page and you see what it is.
So you won't see me on the Facebook or having it. I don't have that. But a long time ago, I would say the dynamics were, it was really cool, like at first, you know, starting out being friends, like, oh, yeah, you know, I got this hot-ass chick that's my friend and blah, 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 and whatever and da-da-da-da-da. But now it's like I don't even – it's not even that type of party.
Yeah,
she's attractive, but it's not one of those things where that's why I'm on the phone, that's why I'm talking to her, she's contributing something to me and I'm feeling good about myself because I'm getting nothing out of it.
But what
there's nothing out of it that I'm pursuing with any physical, intimate stuff like that. It's just literally us just being friends and talking. And I value that.
Yeah, because you're her boyfriend. What if she's getting something out of it?
If she's getting something out of it, then I don't know how you can get something out of it and never come forward and try to push the envelope, do anything, say anything. Because we've been at many places with our careers are overlapping with regards to what we do. So we're in a lot of, we see each other a lot at conferences, all types of stuff. And nothing has ever popped off.
That's because you're married.
But see, come on, in this day and age, would that really stop somebody? No. Not in this day and age.
I got a quick question, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm listening, man. I'm enjoying all this. I got my little chuckles going on while I'm cooking me something to eat. But listen, I'm sitting here thinking, right? Hey, listen, check this out, man. But seriously, this is a deep question for everybody, all the men on the phone. Why is it that the men get caught up in their feelings when these things turn around and happen to them, but a woman's able to walk through this like it's nothing? Why do women be able to deal with this, man, in a totally different way than the man does? A man has to be overprotective and, you know, oh, like that's my woman, so now, you know, I got a problem with this now all of a sudden. You know, I got this cat staying here, he's nice looking, you know, it's her best friend. So all through the whole time he's there, he's walking around, this husband or this man is walking around in these feelings now. He's all confused. He don't know. I mean, he trusts, but he's trying not to fool himself. You see what I'm saying? But why does a woman just be able to just walk through and you got your best friend over there and she just gets along with the whole thing? Why is that?
Because a man knows what's on the inside of him.
Okay.
He knows what's on the inside of him. Therefore, it's easy enough to interpret what's on the inside of that man sitting over there on that couch who's supposed to be a friend. We know what a man's capable of. We know what goes through a man's mind every 15 seconds of the day. We know men. And
because of that, we know somebody good enough that
can it be the fear of another man?
It's the fear of another man.
That's what it is.
It's not even about whether or not you trust your woman. It ain't even about that. It's about I don't trust this man because I know him, because I know me.
Yeah, but like I said, we fear other men because women have that same thing.
Yeah. They do, but let's be honest and candid with the fact that a man, obviously we know that a man more or less has his being wrapped around having some sex with your wife, hopefully, but nonetheless, it's in you. It's in you more so than it's in a woman.
Yeah, but we're not talking about an ex-boyfriend. Yeah, I mean,
right.
we're talking about
a future girlfriend.
Wow. I'm just saying about that. But you know, it could be a guy who has been friends with your wife since she was 5 years old.
But to Vino's question though, does anyone else see what he's trying to say? Is that a distinguishing factor that a man is a little more uncomfortable with that male friend and the woman is a little more comfortable, or is that completely?
It depends on the woman, the method she is.
I'm going to be honest with you. I honestly sometimes wonder, and I always ask my wife all the time, you're good. You're all right with this. You're straight. Here's the thing. Is like I think women are just more apt to just flat out say, whether they've even thought about it or not, they will just say, nah, that's not going to happen. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And we'll just say that. That's not going to happen. Doesn't mean I had to think about it. Doesn't mean I had to know the brother, meet the brother, even know that the brother is even on the other side of the street. That's not going to happen. Whereas I think a woman, 9 times out of 10, she'll think about it,
heal, think about it, and before you know it, it's 2, 3, 4, 5 years gone by. Now, maybe it blows up in your face. Maybe it doesn't. Now, I might be treading a thin line. It might be a powder keg waiting to happen one day and blow up. I don't know. But the fact is I have never done anything where it snuck around. I definitely, when she was here for that opportunity, it was a conference, and she could have paid and stayed at a hotel. And I said, you know, she's going to be in town. And she was like, no, well, she doesn't need to stay there. Have her come to the house. Are you sure with that? Are you okay with that?
Wow.
You're okay with this? Yeah, yeah. So unless she's just flat out lying to me and has been lying to me, and one day, you know, it could change. You know how women are. They could change. Her emotions could definitely change tomorrow. And she might not want me to talk to her for 20 minutes every day.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But at this point, I mean, I think that what happens is that women are more, I don't know, they just think about it a little more. And I think as they get more information and are able to really feel it out, maybe see it a little bit and get a chance to think about it.
It could have been
something that meant I wouldn't need to see it. I don't need to see it. Just as soon as you bring it up, be like, yeah, you know, my friend Lamont is coming. You know, he was a homeboy. No, Lamont ain't staying here. I can finish the statement.
Absolutely.
If I ain't coming here, he can go to the hotel.
That's
right.
Exactly what he was saying.
Right.
I think, yeah,
now,
yeah,
we can go visit him tomorrow together.
Yeah, exactly. So now look at this though. You know, you say when your wife says, "Well, nah, she don't need to stay at a hotel. She can stay here." Is that the wife staying one step ahead of everything? Because we know we don't always. We were talking about them secrets, and we don't think always completely. And we, you know, if we get caught, we just get caught. We can man up, sort of speak, stick our chest out and beat it and act like, you know, this, that, and the other. But with a woman, she's saying, being one step ahead and saying, no, she don't have to stay there. She can come to the house because she knows you keep your enemies close.
Right.
So she don't want you, knowing that just your good girlfriend or whatever, you don't need to go over to the hotel and visit her. I need to chaperone this, right.
Yeah.
Could be. Hey, you know what? It could be that. I'm not even going to lie. It could be. But I'm just saying that with regards to the question of how men and women are able to really approach that and deal with it, I just think women are just, I don't know, I just think they until you give them some reason to doubt you, it goes back to what you all were saying. I mean, we know men. You just know what men are thinking about a lot of times and things of that capacity, and you know yourself and all these things. Until your wife gives, if you have given your wife a reason to doubt you,
right,
then you become that individual that maybe they have to start questioning and asking all that stuff. But if you haven't given any reason to doubt, if you haven't tried to hide anything, I mean, she can call the house, and my wife can pick up the phone and be like, the phone is for you. She can call the cell phone. I ain't got to be hiding anything. There's nothing to hide because I honestly know that I'm doing nothing wrong. And I think that's one of the key components of this is, when you're doing stuff wrong, start acting differently, and people can pick up on that, especially your spouse. If they're paying attention, they can pick up on that. Nothing changes. I mean,
I think
got nothing to hide.
Right.
You know, so that's one of the things also, too, that I think just lends itself to it working out for me. Not saying it's for everybody, but for me it working out is, it's literally no different than if one of my boys, my best man from my wedding called me and I was talking to him. That's literally how it would be if I was talking to her. And there's nothing that I have to do in order to try to hide that or cover that up.
Yeah, but here's the question. Would you let your best man stay at the house with you?
Stay at the house with me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, he's coming to town and staying here.
With your wife there?
Yes. He's
okay,
been here and stayed with my wife here, yes.
Okay, so it's good. Now, what if she has that boy, her best boy, that, you know, they've been together?
Well, remember, I clipped all those way back at the beginning.
There it is.
That is right there.
It is.
It
is.
It took us a while to get there.
Sometimes you got to put the point three times to get it on hand.
Hey, listen, y'all got close, but no cigar. I mean, sometimes we have to, as men, have some type of swagger within ourselves. And we sit here talking about, we know what a man is going to do. We know what a man feels, what's in a man. But what about what's in us? You know what I mean? I mean, we got to know that the foundation that we laid with our wives is thick. We can't just sit back by again where some dude from the past may come by and snatch her up that she's calling a friend. You know what I'm saying? At some point, it's got to be like, yo, but that's my wife. Like, you know, I got that under control. If that's your friend, that could be your friend. I know ain't nothing going to happen because I know I'm on top of my game.
Well, yeah, so you have to be as confident as you can in your relationship. And the worst thing in the world, as a matter of fact, you're better off dead if you're living in fear.
Yes.
And if you're living in fear, then you might, I just say dead, that might be extreme, but you're better off not in a marriage if you're going to live in fear, because that'd be just an awful waste of your time.
Sure.
But, however, either you trust or you don't. However, I would never make an absolute statement that nothing could happen in a relationship.
Oh, no, never absolute, but I think you just said it the best. You can't live in fear, though.
No, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly with you on that one. And I think it's that little inclination. And like you said, yeah, I know me, and I know the foundation that's in me. It's after 11, so I guess we can do a little biblical. But, you know, I know the spiritual foundation that's in me. I know the relationship that me and my wife have. And I'm resting assured the best I can in the fact that we're solid.
Exactly.
However, I'm always living in a reality as well, and saying anyone is capable of doing something, and it's not necessarily because they start out wanting to, but things can happen, and so that's what I said earlier. I kind of have to know, not necessarily know my limits, because I don't think I'll ever know that, but I can at least avoid some pitfalls and arguments in my relationship down the road. If I know you got this going on, you got that going on. For instance, is it okay? I'm gonna ask another question on the same topic, because I know you and I believe you and Peyton both had these relationships prior to getting married. Now, is it okay for you to establish one of those after you're married?
No. Mm.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that.
No, not so, no.
Yeah, no.
No, girlfriends before you get married, but not after you get married.
No.
Right.
Because everything I just said to you about being so confident about a man goes out the window if that happens. Why you're married, she gets a new best friend. Oh, no.
Well, but yeah, so I got you on that. So at the same time, when I'm looking at this, if she has this boyfriend or this friend, I guess we can call him boyfriend because that's how we're doing it on this call.
Sure.
Before we got married, I know as much about him as I would about a new person coming in off the street. So to me, my attitude is the same to both. Whether you started to get one when we were 7 years in the marriage or if you had one before, I don't know neither one of them from Adam.
Well, I would think that you would know. See, we're different.
Yeah, my wife knew about my friend and all this stuff while we were dating and talking and getting serious and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, got a chance to, met her many times before we even got married. I mean, and it was, we had some crazy conversations at different points. My future wife, well, my wife now, but she was going to be my future wife. We had conversations. She was like, wow, you know, y'all are really close. It seems like y'all could be dating each other. Did y'all ever date? No, never did that. Never did any of that. No, that didn't happen. But I think it's just one of those things where she just got a chance to see it. You know, so when she got a chance to see it and be a part of it and witness it and has been basically a part of the whole way of knowing me, the entire time, that's the best way to know it. Her entire life of knowing me has included her. Has included my girlfriend.
Wow.
Okay.
I think the term is what's making it dicey. But
we understand.
My friend is a woman that has definitely been a part of my life the whole time my wife has been, longer than my wife's been a part of my life. But definitely the time that my wife, like my wife and I have been knowing each other for 11 years now. All together off 11 years. So before that, that's how long I've known this guy, I was about to say the other woman. This,
your girlfriend. Leave it at
girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to use the word girlfriend. I don't know, we still taping, but whatever, because I'm good at my house.
Oh, right, man. I got you.
It's, I'm good. I mean, but that's honestly when I saw the, when I said, oh, man, I'm interested in this, because I've actually had in the past a couple of the colleagues that are women that have said I need to maybe watch it. They said, it's like, yeah, you know, yeah, she's your good friend, but you're not seeing what I'm seeing about how she's looking at you when you're talking and how this, that, and the other. But see, I honestly, I don't see it. And I haven't even had my wife say anything to me about it. And my wife has been there. So I don't know if it's just something that they want to see and they're making it something that I ought to see, because the dynamic that we've had when she's been around my family, I mean, if that were there, you better believe you would hope, and I would hope, that my wife would be like, yeah, I'm seeing something that you're not seeing. But she's never said that. And I'm never giving off any vibes like I'm acting like something that I'm not, or we got something going on, because that's not what it is. So I don't know. I mean, I'm really trying to figure it out, and that's why I was interested in where the call was going, because there are a lot of things in her life where I'm trying to figure out, okay, at this stage, what's going on? She's about to be 35, not married, really good professional career, successful, driven, all that good stuff, you know, not a prospect in sight, all the prospect people that come up, they keep getting shunned to. So I'm starting to say, what's going on? You know, like, you know, we've had those conversations. I've talked to her about that, like, what's going on? Whereas other people, like I said, that have seen the dynamics are like, watch out. And I'm just like, I don't see it.
And that's
what I thought we were going to talk about, and other people were going to be able to maybe throw something else in here. But the call has been great. I'm not saying the call has been great. I've enjoyed the whole call. But when this came up, and I'm glad it progressed to this, because I was interested in really getting others' perspectives on this.
And those other women, they're just trying to break up your marriage and your girlfriend so they can be your girlfriend. Kidding. But let me.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah, good words. Good chat,
some
fellas.
Your wife won't let, some women that your wife just won't let you be around.
Yeah.
They don't fear, and some that they just
that instinct.
That instinct, yeah. And I want to. Got a few more questions, and we'll shut this thing down, go into open mic. But is your wife your best friend? And should she be?
I think yes. She should be, and she is.
That was a tough one, I know, Bino.
Yeah. Who was that for, me?
That's a good one.
It is a good one. Is your wife your best friend, and should she be?
She should be, and she is.
She ought to be.
I think so.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. You can have multiple best friends. We treat this like childhood. You have a couple best friends.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's where Bino was going. Bino just didn't finish his thought.
Yeah.
Is that where you
come in? Bino, I'll help you out, brother. I mean, what I'm getting at is, does anybody only hang out with their wife? I mean, me, for example, as I spoke, I mean, that's generally all I have time to do, you know, on a regular basis, on a normal, ideal situation. There are times where I can break out or whatever. And, of course, you know, I have time with the brothers hanging out in my basement. I ain't got to go nowhere, you know, Tuesday nights, you know, so that's, you know, hanging out. But, you know, my wife is my best friend, you know, and I hang out with her and, you know, that's, I think, you know, then there were times in our marriage that it wasn't that way. You know, everybody has their rough patches. I've been married 12 years in July. But, yeah, I mean, that's probably the one person that really knows everything about you, or, you know, other than the stuff that you've kept to yourself. But
right.
They probably know the most about you than any of your male friends or your girlfriends.
In a marriage, your wife has to be your best friend. There's no cut corners. There's none of that. I mean, you know, you got people that are friends, people that are associates, but in a marriage, she has to be your best friend.
If she's not, then you'll never be able to live up to the standards that you want to in that marriage. You always have doubts. You always have fears that Rodney was talking about. And these things you can't have in a marriage. So she has to be your best friend. You have to be able to talk to her. The same way you're talking to us is the same way that you should be able to talk to your wife. Now, some things, like you say, we can't say because we don't want to cause confusion in the house. You see what I'm saying? Because you don't want to give her no mixed emotions. So we're talking as fellas right now. But she also needs to be that type of woman that you can talk to her just like you're talking to us. She has to become your best friend. Whatever you like to do, she has to want to do. Mm-hmm. And you can't really go anywhere in life that you can't, when you walk through a door in life, you can't walk through a door that she's not allowed to go in.
Mm-hmm.
She has to go with you. And if she can't go with you, then you need to think about that door even if before you go in it or even after you come out of it. You have to think, well, did I go in this place, man, and would she be able to go in here with me? Because she needs to go everywhere you'd be able to go. Other than that, it's really not, it's somewhere you don't need to be.
You know, to add to that, Bino, would be more like that doorway that you're mentioning, say, there's only one person that you can bring to this door, who's that going to be?
Mm. Yeah.
Because that's going to be your best friend, whoever that person is.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
that's good words. That's good words.
Okay.
Yeah. Final question, fellas. Why do we put the most time into our marriages primarily in the beginning?
Because we're trying to establish ourselves. It's like work. You work hard, hard, hard in the beginning, and at the end you're like, okay, I can just cruise and retire. Because we've already put the time in. And it's almost for everyone that works business. It's called compression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you first get into business, you're doing everything that you can, and if you're the employer, you're trying to get the best people there, so you give them all the perks. But after they get there, you're like, okay, they're here now.
Mm.
It's coming upon us not to do that and try not to do that, but a lot of times it's just human nature. Yeah, but okay, we've been together for 10 years, 12 years, 50 years. We know we love each other, but sometimes we, you know, one can sit upstairs, one can sit downstairs.
Mm.
But, you know, but when it comes down to the get down, if someone's looking at your wife a little wrong, or someone, then y'all rise up. But we always going to put in the best, all our work up front, and try to cruise at the end.
Good words.
That's a good word there, T.
Yeah. I would add to that personally, too, for myself, is I think up front, you know, I was more emotionally vulnerable and willing to expose myself and do things in order to have this person really see who I am. You know, and as time goes on, what ends up happening is as you start to get let down, hurt, defeated in different situations, you start to pull back. You know, that's kind of how I've always been, you know, with regards to things and, you know, friendships and relationships and now marriages. I'm going to give it all to you up front. But as you start to mess up, I'm going to start to reel it back in.
Mm.
And that's unfortunate. And, you know, my wife and I sometimes struggle with that in different ways because, you know, she's, you'll say to me, you know, you're living in the past. You're living in the past. I'm like, nah, I'm not living in the past. It's just I'm getting glimpses in some of the things that you still are doing of the past. And it's hard for me to continue to put in at that level like I was at the beginning, but you still want maximum results. That's hard. I don't know anything. And, you know, I'm always the one on the call that just tries to, and I'm not saying that you guys don't, but I'm just going to say I'm just bringing it to common sense. There is nothing in life that you continue to give 100% to that is not giving it back. You either take yourself out, you cut it off, you shut it down, you get rid of it. Think about that old grill that's not working right every summer. And then finally, you get rid of it and get a new one so that it gives you the 100% effort that you want to get and what you give. It's the same thing in anything else. And that's how it rolls with me. And I think that's why sometimes it's hard for me personally to keep up that same level is because I'm tired of being emotionally vulnerable. I can't keep giving it at that level. And it's not that I don't, love her. It's not that I don't care about her. It's not that I don't value her. It's not that I'm not in love with her. It's just that I got to make adjustments so that I don't continue to get myself hurt. And I, you know, and that might sound like tit for tat, and it probably is, you know. But the way I see it is that tit for tat, a better way in my mind of saying that is balance, a balance of harmony, so that I'm okay, so that I'm safe. So if I know you only gonna give 80%, I don't need to be making myself crazy every time trying to give you 100. I might can give you 95 and we're good, because I'm still exceeding what you're doing. But I'm not going to kill myself. So I think that, personally for me, is why I'm not giving at the same level that I was given before. Because you make adjustments, you know what I mean? You dial it up, you make adjustments. It's just like anything, you know, with regards to sports. You know, when they call that timeout, you go to the bench, you make adjustments to your game plan. My game plan at the beginning was to come in hard and aggressive and fast and be vulnerable and do all these things and show this woman that, oh, my goodness, you got me. But in the process of you getting me, you got to value me, you got to cherish me, you got to nurture me. And if you don't do those things and you don't continue to do those things, then I got to make adjustments. I got to call a timeout. And I got to go to the bench and I got to draw up another plan so that you just don't keep getting points and buckets on me. I got to get some.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that, for me, is how I approach it and why I think that I'm not giving at the same level.
But does 100% break your back?
100%? Does it break my back?
Yeah, does 100% break your back?
You know, here's the thing. I don't even think it's a physical thing. I think it's more of emotionally it's breaking me. It's not my back. It's breaking my psyche and my heart and my spirit. It's not the physical. It's not killing my back. I can keep doing it. But the
I was speaking in a metaphor. Not your physical back, but I'm saying when you're giving your 100%, is 100% of you detrimental to who you are? Does that bring you down to be 100%?
I'm not following the question.
So
does it hurt you?
Does it hurt you to be you, in other words?
Does it hurt me to be me? Sometimes I think so. You know, because I that's the type of person I am. My stuff is on my sleeve. That's why when we were talking earlier about how when back in just college, Rodney's wife was like, yeah, we ain't friends. Yeah, wow, I couldn't believe that. Like, that was wow. I mean, that just was like somebody punched me in the face with that. But now I guess the difficult part, particularly with your spouse, is, man, you know, it's rough. And it's not that, again, it's not that I'm not in love with this person. I just got to make adjustments.
Sure.
Hard for me to keep going at 100% knowing that they doing 80. I mean, think about a group project. Just anything in life that you've ever done. On your work teams right now, if you're on a project with people and people ain't doing what they're supposed to do, you either say something, get out the group, approach a supervisor or somebody that you report to and say, Kenny ain't pulling his weight, or you decide that this project's no longer for me, because you can't continue to carry it on. You might be able to do it once or twice, because it's going to make you look good, a go-getter, and do all those things. But if that's every day.
Well,
I'm not saying that your person's a bad person, but you got to make adjustments.
Right.
And I think
with that example of being at work, I'm doing, if I'm 100% of doing my job, my task, my assignments for what's been given to me, I'm doing 100% of that. Now, if someone else is out of the office or something else that's outside of my job description is being thrown on to me, then that's a little more than 100%. And then, yeah, I could see where that affects my psyche, my physical being, my spiritual being, et cetera, et cetera. It can, you know, start getting under my skin, so to speak. But if I'm doing something, and then let me just take this off into another direction and just say that if I'm doing 100%, am I doing it for someone else, or am I being 100% because it's me, because it satisfies me, because it makes me feel good about who I am?
I think it's pretty much I do things, and with regards to the marriage, originally, before I got married, it would be I'm doing stuff for me. I'm doing it for me. You know, I like putting in 100% effort on anything. I'm not half-stepping like the song said, all of that, you know. But then when you get married, you know, it's not all about me. It's not. I got to fall back. I got to compromise. I got to recognize whatever. But it just gets to a certain point where you start saying to yourself, like, this, you know, I can't continue to give at this pace, and this person's expecting me to do 100% of things, but they show up when they maybe want to show up. They do things at whatever pace or expectation that they want, even though we have group expectations or joint expectations, and we've discussed them and have them outlined. So it's hard to continue to give it that same level, you know, and be comfortable with that. I just don't – and I'm baffled. Like, I will say this. I get off the phone a lot, and I'm really amazed, and I feel that I got to always step my game up when I'm talking to you gentlemen on the phone. Y'all, it seems like y'all are just – I'm going to be honest with you. In my mind, sometimes I'm happy, and I say I got to step my game. But other times, it's just like, how can they be so content with this BS?
Good words. Good
words. Oh, like,
man.
Tell me that you smiling and happy that you can't have no other friends, you can't do nothing else, you can't go on no vacation without your spouse, that you got to do this, that you got to keep doing things for her, and you always at the back of the line. It makes no sense. I mean, there's no way.
Well, I will say one thing. I will say one thing to you right here. Who's this talking right now?
It's
Peyton.
Yeah.
Hey, Peyton, listen, I will say in a relationship, man, in order for a relationship to stay strong and work, okay, if you really love somebody, a relationship stays strong when you give more than you take. So you got to keep giving. You know what I'm saying? It seems like, you know, sometimes it's
balance.
Dead
That's
and
all
broke
I'm
thing.
I'm not even talking about give more than you, but all I'm asking for, and not even balance, let's just use the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's all I'm asking for. Just be fair with it. And that's
right.
all. And when you think about love and all these other things and marriage and all these things, fairness shouldn't go out the door. Common sense shouldn't go out the door. Compromise, literally a true compromise, shouldn't go out the door. And a lot of times what I'm hearing on the call at different points is, man, it's like sometimes fellas, I feel like we blow the bar on this piece. Like, we got all this education, all these skill sets, all these things we've accomplished, and we come through being below the bar.
Yeah,
and I know
right.
that that's not every call. Now, let me clear it up. That's not every call. And definitely you all probably have better marriages than I do. I will be the first one to say that. And that's what continues to bring me back. But a lot of times that's where I'm at with it, is I just don't understand how or what I need to do in order to be able to do that. Now, my mom used to say that, what you just used to say. She would be like, a clenched fist is a double negative. You can't give anything and you can't receive anything. Got it. Thank you, Mom. I believe it. But at the same time, a clenched fist definitely allows me to protect myself in situations where I might be getting taken advantage of, or I need to be a little bit proactive in how I expect things to be. I mean, I get what you're saying, but it just seems really crazy to me that you will continue to say, I'm just going to keep giving more and more and more and more and more just because I'm married.
Well, you know, a lot of people say about counseling, you know, at one time I didn't believe in counseling, but there's people who are minds are trained, okay, to get inside of other people's minds to find out where there's a problem. I would say counseling, you know, I would bring to your wife's attention that these things here are what's on your mind, the same way you're sharing with us, the same way you're sharing with her. And then I would seek outside counseling, somebody that you don't know, somebody that she don't know. Investigate that on the Internet. Find somebody that you can read their biography about where they've been and what they've done so far. And then find that counselor, and it, depending on how bad it is, I mean, for you to save your marriage and get it to where you really want it, I would seek that type of counseling.
Yeah. Well, we're not on the rocks. It's nothing crazy. But
right. I understand what you're saying, but you're hurting inside because you feel like you're giving 100%, she's giving 80, but you want her to give that 100. So maybe this counselor can get inside her mind to find out what you really are lacking right now. And then by her hearing that, then that could save your marriage to be, you know, as strong as you want it to be.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a really good point. That's actually something that I've been thinking about and trying to figure out if that's something that we need to pursue. Because inherently, I think that's just something with regards to, I think that's just how my wife is. Because in all honesty, like every dynamic that I watch, her with her sisters, her with her family, her with her parents, her with other people, everything, that's kind of how she just approaches stuff. And, yeah, I guess I knew this before, before I married her and really got into it, and don't get me wrong, love her to death. But at different points, that's frustrating. And that sometimes is a big source of, like, a lot of our discussions that are really, like, serious. It's like, you know, and she's saying to me, why aren't you doing this and doing this? And I'm just like, well, because you expect me to be spiritual in this, and you might do that? I mean, come on, man. And I'm not talking about, like, physical intimacy or sexual stuff. I'm just talking about simple stuff, like I said before, like remembering to lock the door. You know, I mean, that. You know, and that's kind of why, and I don't mean to jeopardize this last portion of the call, because I know that there's probably people that want to speak. But that is honestly why.
You just locked the door.
But
Peyton, I mean,
door.
I hear you, and I agree with what Bino says. The fact is she's not hearing you. The fact is she's just not hearing you. I mean, you could say it to you blue in the face. You could say it 3 times a week, 5, 6 times a week, every day. She's not hearing you. And that's why I think he says that you got to get somebody else in. You know, somebody just a mediator. Even if it's just for maintenance, marriage maintenance purposes, but just a mediator. So, and then you got to write these things down. You know what I mean? So you get in there, you say, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. Boom, 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 boom. And the counselor's going to ask her. And counselor's going to say, yeah, you say, okay, well, what about these things? Has he mentioned this to you? And then she might say, yeah, but I didn't think it was that important.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing, honestly, fellas, is where I am right now, and this is where the biggest disappointment is for me. I'm not so much disappointed in her anymore because, well, I am, but not to the same degree because I'm starting to see, like I said, in different dynamics, this is just kind of how she is and how she approaches stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm disappointed more in myself because one of the things that I definitely pride myself on, I think all of us guys, is on being on top of stuff 100%, you know. And
there it is.
And it's hard for me now knowing that, yeah, I'm only giving this one of the most, if not, no, not if not, the most important thing in my life, 85%, because I'm just frustrated at the fact that I got to keep this pace and I got to still do all this stuff. And that's what we were talking about last, I think we were talking about last week, one of these weeks. It's like it's expected for us as men to still do all these things. These cats come real quick out their mouth and tell you what a man is supposed to do and what a man is not supposed to do. But let you try to tell them or relate to them what expectations are and what a woman is supposed to do. Most of them don't even know what it is, first off, and they're probably just as confused as we are. And then the other part to it is the fact that it's just legitimately something where they just don't get it. So I'm literally, like I said, more upset with myself.
Right.
The fact that I'm only now, because everything else, I'm killing the game on, or I'm trying to kill the game on everything else, literally.
Yeah.
If it's hitting a nail on the board, I'm trying to knock the nail through the board. But with this, you know, I'm hitting it with like a rubber mallet or something.
Right. Well, exactly. And yeah, but all that other stuff that you're doing, you're literally doing for you. So, you know, when I was talking earlier about that 100%, you were doing 100% before you got married.
Yeah.
Right. You were doing 100% before you got married. And yet you still got married. And in that marriage, you're not doing 100% now because I don't want to make this an absolute statement either, but sounds like because you want her to pick up at least 20% of that 100% that you were doing.
Well, I don't need her to pick it up. I just wanted to, I thought that the marriage was just being balanced and fair. So if I'm giving this, why wouldn't you?
No.
Well, yeah, in some regard, I mean, I understand. I heard someone say no, and I do understand what you are probably about to say. But I will say that it should be balanced. It should be 100% and 100%. Both of y'all should be on both of your on your game. I use, since we all men on the phone, and I know the playoffs is, you know, I really shouldn't use Kobe since he lost. Nonetheless, but you look at it. I look at it, Kobe, because he has the drive that he has every day on the court. 25, he can get 25 points in 33 minutes. That's pretty impressive. But nonetheless, you have someone like that who is out there playing ball, playing at 100. Some would say 100 plus, but at 100% every time he steps on the court, whether he's aching or not. whether he, you know, he's in pain, whether he has things on his mind, the divorce that he had going, or the potential divorce at the time he had that going on. He got on that court and he put everything into it at 100%. And never talked to Kobe in my life, but I bet if I did ask him why he was putting 100% on that court or why he does that, I guarantee he wouldn't say his mom, he wouldn't say his wife, he wouldn't say his kids per se. He would say because it's him.
Right.
That's who he is. He's got to do 100%. That's Kobe. That's when you say my name, or when you say his name, he would say, I think if you say my name, you have to say all of these attributes along with it. This is what I do. 100%, that means Kobe. If you say 80%, then you're just saying Kobe. You know what I'm saying? So Peyton has to be 100% in order to be Peyton. That's why I said, does it hurt to be you?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's a rough. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I think that the third party definitely will shed some light on some things and help it out. But it is one of these things where, just to answer the original question, the reason why is because I came into it being me, 100%, giving it everything I got. Now, over the years, I've had to call timeouts and make adjustments, draw up another play. And I know that play is not going to hit the game winner. I know it's not. And it's unfortunate, but it's like, man, if I keep drawing up game-winning plays, but my bench is horrible.
But now watch this.
No, your bench is not horrible.
Bench is, yeah, because we the bench.
Your bitch is
not all. Yeah. But so, you know, you look at, like, again, I'm just going to use analogy of sports, since that's what we had with the playoff and everything. But you got Kobe who will go, you know, say he goes to his left or whatever all the time, and it seems to not work against, you know, the person that's defending him or whatever. It doesn't work anymore. He's on to it. He's got to switch it up. He's got to go to the right. He's got to stop driving. He's got to start shooting some jumpers or whatever. He's got to switch up in the game. But that doesn't turn off whether that's 100% or not. He's just doing 100% in another way.
Right. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. At this point, I feel like I've done 100% in a million.
Right. But because that didn't work or she's not understanding, that don't mean you dropped to 80%.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can still maintain 100%.
Because I'm going to be honest with you, I mean, that's kind of where, in order for me to keep myself from being disconnected, unhappy, frustrated, angry,
mm-hmm.
whatever word you want to put in,
mm-hmm.
just had to make these adjustments that have really, I feel like I'm dumbing myself down. You know, and that's unfortunate, but it's like,
You're just switching up, though. So you're just switching up from the left hand to the right hand because your goal is the ring. Your goal is to win the championship. Your goal is to keep that marriage happy, strong, and healthy. And that's the goal. So you got to switch it up. You can't keep going the same way because you already know they keep swatting it every time you go down that hole. So you got to switch up. You got to shoot them three-pointers or something.
I got to get something going. I could always finger roll.
Now, you know that.
Let me ask y'all this question. So when y'all are in these situations like this, how can y'all continue to give at the overly give? I mean, I understand. It just seems, I guess, this is what I'm hearing a lot of times from y'all on the call. Kill them with kindness. I'm just like, punch them in their face.
Yeah,
literally, I know this is still on the thing.
Right,
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not advocating physical violence. What I'm saying is that killing with kindness is more the happy way. It's the glass is half full. Whereas I'm saying, punch him in the face, the glass is half empty. You know, so how do y'all continue to have this just keep it going for long periods of time? It's okay to not be happy because when women aren't happy, you know it. But I feel like sometimes what I'm walking away with on this call, and I would love to get there if it really is a switch I can switch to and get it, is that, you know, some of you are really okay with continuously giving and having stuff taken away, and you just smiling and doing it. And I'm just like, okay, I understand we married, but...
Well, I'm just going to slide one other thing in there, okay? Because in the beginning of the Head of Household conference call, I remember in the very beginning how we talked about a topic about, you know, our position as a husband.
and you know, our position to how we have to love our wife. Well, see, just like Christ loves you, and, you know, he does, you still, you're not perfect, you do all kind of things, but he keep on loving you, don't he?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same way you got to do your wife. God said when he gave you that wife, he said, love her just like I love the church. And if he loves you and you keep making all these mistakes, but he keep on loving you, keep waking you up, keep giving you chances to get better. So do the same thing. Think about that when you're trying to love your wife. Think about that. I'm going to love her just like Christ loved the church.
I can't be Christ. Christ is Christ loving the church.
I understand what you're saying, Peyton. Listen, but I mean, when you took her hand in marriage, you took her for better, for worse.
Mm.
You said, I'm going to love this woman. You may have
hurt that woman. But that's the part that
okay,
I'm saying.
Okay, but now you're complaining about that oath.
But I'm not.
I'm not complaining about that.
What I'm complaining about is definitely her approach to doing things. I'm not complaining about the oath. I'm just frustrated and baffled with the fact that the level of expectation for me is to never waver, but it's okay for her to decide when she wants to show up and how much she's going to show up and for how long. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. All I'm talking about, honestly, in anything, is just be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Be the balance with it. If this is where it is, and this is what's making it difficult for me, is because now I got to contemplate and say to myself, okay, am I content with being 85%? No, I'm not. And that's my dilemma. You know what I'm saying? But the other side of it is why do I have to just be okay with this? Why do we as men have to be okay with some of this stuff? That is one of the biggest things that, and besides the topic of this call.
You know, the only thing I can hear from you right now is what you're telling me, and I'm trying to put myself in your wife's shoes.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, are you telling your wife these very things you're telling us?
Oh, my goodness. When the conversations come up, I give it all. And it goes a long time.
Okay.
I mean, when it comes up, it does not cut off.
Anger?
I don't know if it's anger. It might be a little frustration.
Yeah.
You know, there might be a little hint of anger in there, too, because it's just like, it's almost like I feel hoodwinked. You know what I'm saying? Because here I am as a guy, and I don't know how you guys approach it, but here I am as a guy that has really given myself to this whole ideal and this concept and this being of marriage and what it entails, and really reading about it and going to, you know, meet with the pastor and doing all the stuff before getting married and blah, 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 all of this stuff. And then you get into it and it's like, wait a minute, this ain't the play we drew up. This is not how it's supposed to operate. Now, did I miss a practice?
Well,
you know, did I not show up for a meeting, or did I not watch the game film? Because I was there.
Yeah, but you're still the coach.
Right. And even though I'm still the coach, what I'm struggling with is my ability to be committed to coaching at 100%.
Yeah, but as a coach and or a player, you understand that in a game, you know you can't follow line for line, play by play. You know you're going to have to ad-lib. You know you're going to have to adjust, an audible, right? You're going to have to adjust even as your opponent adjust against you. So you're going to have to be able to say, hey, we need to change this game plan up. And again, it does not mean that you have to stop doing 100%. As a matter of fact, you got to keep 100% no matter what plan or what play you put on the board or on the field. You're going to have to get out there and give it 100% in order for that plan or that trophy to come home with you. You're going to have to give it. I don't care who you are. 85% ain't going to get you a championship.
That's right. That's right. And again, because I want to move on to something else. But again, bring in that third party. I think right now, just bring in that third party will actually work for you, guaranteed.
Appreciate it, fellas. Sorry to take much time on that.
Now, we getting ready to go on open mic, and we got something for open mic. We got somebody that has been waiting to ask a question.
Yes,
and let me
shut it down proper. Like I'm still here.
Okay,
and, that's great words. Great chat, fellas. And when you do get that third party, let it not be your girlfriend. That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, brought to you by the Head of Household. We hope you enjoy the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And next week's topic will be...
To be determined.
Yeah, to be determined.
Oh, my drum sound ain't working. It's past midnight. Next week's topic will be, does your wife have your man card?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. That one.
Does your wife
we'll be
have
up
your
to
man
2 in the morning on that one.
Yeah, does your wife
Lord
have your man card? So, yeah, that's going to be good. So for more information, please feel free to visit our website, www.householdstress.com.
You are now free to move about the country.
Y'all have a good night.
No, no.